Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show, and we are on the line with the amazing Magi Helena. Good morning, Helena. Good morning.
Good morning, Terry. It's so great to be here today.
Yes, awesome. Well, listen, I want to kind of jump right on in when we talk about astrology, and I love the introduction that you gave about understanding astrology. Would you be kind enough just to share one last time, just kind of bring everybody up to speed on what we think of when we say astrology or what we should think of?
Okay. Well, the very basics or the basic premise is that the positions of planets in the sky make various mathematical relationships to planets on any particular day. If we sort of had a map of the sky on a day, let's call it your birthday, Carrie. If it was your birthday,
yes,
there'd be sort of a map of the planets on that day. And then if we were going to look at what's going on in your astrology for today, we would look at the relationships between the planets in the sky today and the planets on the day of your birth. And the type
wow.
of astrology I do, Carrie, it's the only type of astrology that's actually based on scientific and statistical research. It's not based on belief systems. So our way of interpretation and understanding has been validated or verified by research.
Love it. Love it. Well, listen, one of the big reasons that we wanted to have you on the Hair Radio Morning Show at this time is because we are forever honoring the legacy of the one and only Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I was hoping that you could take a look at, you know, and kind of, you know, give your ideas on any kind of chart or anything that you wanted to share. What would you like to say today, Helena?
Well, I'd love to speak a little bit to Dr. King's incredible astrological birth chart. I mean,
wow.
When you do look at birth charts from the perspective of scientific astrology, they're very, very clear. But while everyone has gifts in their birth chart, big gifts from God, we all also have some challenges. And not all of us are able to live up to all of our gifts for various reasons. You know, life isn't easy. And what's so amazing to me, one of the many things that's so amazing to me about Dr. King's chart is how beautifully he was able to live up to all of his gifts and face down his challenges. This was a man who did God's work in the world. And he was able to do that through the gifts in his chart and then the personal discipline and the personal honor and the personal integrity that he had as a human being. So when I look at his chart, one of the first things I see is how gifted he was as a speaker, obviously. He was immensely talented and he had a hunger to communicate his ideas. The way I would express some of this stuff, I would talk about planets rather than talking about zodiac signs, because we don't use zodiac signs in scientific astrology. They just haven't proven to work well enough. But what I'm talking about here with Dr. King's chart, one of the things is, I'm going to say a bunch of stuff that's not going to make a whole lot of sense unless you're a student of astrology, but he's got an amazing iron butterfly of Sun, Saturn, Ixion. Ixion's a planet way out there past Pluto in what's called the Kuiper Belt. And then he's got a Jupiter midpoint and Midas at the fourth corner of this iron butterfly. And people that have complicated and symmetrical geometric shapes in their charts, these are the people that really have the most powerful gifts. And Dr. King's chart is just full of what we call planetary geometry. And you can cherry pick almost anything and see this. You see his dedication to humanity, to all kinds of folks in all kinds of situations. You see his hunger to bring in a better world. And you see that while he was angry, he channeled the anger into trying to actually do things that could work. He channeled the anger into talk of peace and nonviolent protest. I mean, I am so moved by what this man did and what he was able to take, the raw material that God gave him, and the way he was able to use that raw material to make such an incredible contribution to the world.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
What was possible for you yesterday is still possible for you today. Holding on to what might feel like the impossible. Holding on to hope. Keeping that fire burning. Holding on to the desires that push your soul forward. Never relinquishing. Never believing that you cannot get where you're going. So for me, it's all about maintaining that little something special that lives inside of you. So holding on, because again, if it was possible yesterday, then it's still possible today.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and I have a very, very special guest, wonderful talker today. We are so excited to catch up with Ms. Siobhan. Good morning, Ms. Siobhan. Welcome back to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Good morning, Carrie. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And shall I say, happy June. I am just so excited this month to talk about all that we are celebrating the entire month of June. Yes. June is one of my, I mean, for me, June, I love June. It's all about summer. It's all about beautiful colors and so much more out there. So we're just happy to, and we're happy to catch up with you. It's been a while.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
We're happy. Yeah.
Yes, June is also one of my favorite months. I like it a lot because, you know, you do your gardening and stuff,
oh,
and you finally
yeah.
see your poinsett, well, you know, the plants coming up and they're growing.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but that's the wrong plant.
Surround yourself with people whose eyes light up when they see you coming. Two, slowly is the fastest way to get to where you want to be. And three, the top of one mountain is the bottom of the next, so keep climbing.
Don't allow anybody to make you feel that you are nobody. Always feel that you count. Always feel that you have worth. And always feel that your life has ultimate significance.
I am an endangered species, but I sing no victim song. I am a woman, I am an artist, and I know where my voice belongs.
And Mr. Lionel Williams, tell us what Dr. King means to you.
I think that Dr. King is, I don't romanticize him the way that America has, but I think that, but he really just means to me that the power of possibility, the importance of having a vision. So, you know, even though he was demonized, we celebrate him now, but back in the day he was demonized and the FBI, et cetera, they were trying to destroy him.
That's right.
But he, the importance is he held true to a vision. And even if you plant the seeds and you water the seeds of your vision, you'll see it, you know, it continue to grow. And I think that's what he means to me, the importance of setting a vision, believing it, and holding true to it.
And we celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King. Thank you, Lionel, for that.
What I've enjoyed doing all my life from a little girl, I always loved messing with my sisters. They had beautiful hair. And I always enjoyed doing this.
Callie Terrell loves making women look and feel good.
I feel good. Now when I do it again, they make me pay more.
Mrs. Terrell now only works to keep busy and to satisfy a few longtime customers like her daughter, Inez. She's 99 years old and anxiously awaiting her 100th birthday in November.
Well, if I give out my birthday to people, you have to pay for it. November 26th. How old will you be? 100. How about that?
Her zeal for life is amazing, and so is her work ethic. WREG checked the state of Tennessee, and they first issued her license to operate on January 30th, 1945. She rents space in a salon now, but once had her own thriving business. She's outlived almost all of her customers.
People my age that I used to buddy-buddy with, I don't have a single one. I was in a bridge club. I'm the only one in the club that's living.
Work is part of her secret to longevity.
I'm not used to just being up in the house. See, I work so long. I've just been around people. So I enjoy being with people and doing something exciting.
Most old people, they're a little dry and droll. I can't deal with that. I got to live. I do the things that make me happy.
Working brings her joy, but she plans to finally retire at the end of the year. But she says, don't expect to find her sitting around the house doing nothing.
I just be waiting on somebody to call and say, how are you dancing? I said, now what is it? Well, come on over here. We doing so-and-so. And I jump in the car and go, I just want to do something.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year. my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, we have a very, very special guest with us today. He's from the world of music. You know him well. The Hair Radio Morning Show would like to welcome the one and only Mr. Tony Terry. Good morning.
Hey,
good morning.
Hey,
yeah.
How are you? How's it going?
Well, I'm doing great. It is awesome to have you on the show. We finally got you here. Yes. Awesome. Well, listen, this music, your music, has touched so many folks. I'm raising my hand right now, folks out there. It has. It really has. It resonates with everybody. You've been, you know, you really put the time in, and you've had a remarkable career. So we're going to get into all of that. I'm going to find out what you're doing now. We want to know everything, Mr. Tony Terry.
Okay. All
right.
The unsung version.
There you go. And by the way, I've heard some of that, and I've watched a lot of this and done my little research and all that stuff, so we're ready. The thing that that really jumps out at me, of course, everybody knows, you know, just one of your biggest hits, of course, was that amazing song With You.
Mm-hmm.
And but before we get there, I want to talk about the first album.
Okay.
Because you had some hits on there.
I did. You know, it was really interesting, my journey to even putting out a first album, because I was... Let me give you the succinct version as tightly as I possibly can of what happened. So I had been in New York for a couple of years, and I had auditioned for the off-Broadway show Mom, I Want to Sing a few times and had gotten turned away. And the last time that I went, that I didn't want to go and didn't care if I was in the show at all at that point, of course, I made it.
Wow. And you were probably in the version I saw, too.
Yeah, I saw it one time. Yeah. I was in with Deatra Hicks was playing.
Yes.
I was probably there. And,
wow.
And so I did that for a few years, and I was about to just kind of, you know, just go home, actually, back to D.C., and I had decided that enough, you know, it wasn't really going the way that I wanted it to, and I was going to go back to D.C. And so maybe a day or two before I was supposed to leave, one of my buddies was like, we're going to see this band. And he took me to the Danceteria, which I don't think is open in New York anymore. And there was the place was packed. And there was this band playing, and they were good. And, you know, I'm young and, you know, cocky probably. And I told him after the set, and he came to ask me, you know, what I thought of his band. And I told him I thought they were great, except they were missing something. And that something was me. And so he was like, okay, here's your time to shine. So I started singing maybe a Luther Vandross song or something in this packed basement of this club. And this gentleman turned around, who I had never met before, but it turns out he was Ted Currier. And Ted's claim to fame was Atomic Dog that he had produced, and you know, George Clinton stuff. And he was one of the first DJs, if not the first DJs, to do live dance mixes in New York at 92 KTU.
Of course, KTU.
Yeah, back in the day, and but I didn't know all of that at this time. And so he gave me his card and asked me to give him a call. And I held on to his card. I didn't go back to D.C. I held on to his card maybe a week or so. And I called him late at night. I just, you know, figured that he was a musician like me and he was probably going to be working. And so I called him, and he was excited to hear from me. Like, what took so long for me to call him? And he invited me to come over to a session he was working on. And I was in East Orange at the time. So I had to catch the bus to the path to the subway to 42nd Street, and then walk up.
See, and I understand that. And most of the folks in New York, New Jersey area, we know what you mean. And especially if you're in Jersey.
Right. It was a bit of a journey.
Okay,
so I finally get there and I walk into the studio, and Ted has Parliament Funkadelic in there working.
Wow.
And I am starstruck, mesmerized. You know, I hadn't seen anything like that before. I was a huge fan, I still am, of their work. A huge fan of their work. And but let me say this. I understood what funk music really came from. And I'm just going to leave it there.
All right. I kind of got that. Okay.
And so I met one of my boys there who actually, his name was Daryl Moe. Daryl Moe was a young musician at the time who was in the very first show that brought me from D.C. to the area, to New Brunswick, actually, Crossroads Theater, where we were doing Black Nativity. And after about 4 weeks in of rehearsal, this young man in the band came up to me and said, I don't know about these other cats, but you are a star. And I never thought about that before. I never even considered, you know, I was a part of this crew that had came up to New Jersey from D.C., you know, in pursuit of our careers, in pursuit of our dreams. And but to think that I was a star, I mean, I was in the ensemble, you know, to be picked out by anybody probably at that age and recognize that, you know, something as big as being considered a star would be like, wow.
That's
so
huge.
Yeah, and something I had not even considered, even though I had been pursuing this thing of being an entertainer for a long time. Didn't never really think be a star, just wanted to work.
Wow.
And so after the show was over, I started working with him, and we wrote my very first demo. It was called Don't Hold Back. And he and I he shopped it to Ted Currier. I played it for Ted Currier. Ted thought it was a great record, and then that started it. So I came down to the studio, and he had Parliament in there, and he said, Daryl said, Ted, if you put my boy in the booth, you'll fire all them jokers. You know, it's just like typical New Yorkerican kind of energy.
Yeah.
And so Ted was like, really? Well, let's see. And I'm thinking, really? Seriously, Daryl? And so he puts me in the booth, sure enough. And I was ready, and he did fire the Parliament. And I did end up doing that project for the Boogie Boys on Capitol Records called Survival of the Freshest. And it was actually the first R&B album, I mean, the first rap record that incorporated R&B hooks. It started that whole thing. And
that's amazing.
I mean, at the time, I didn't realize it was so amazing.
That is. I didn't. Wow.
And so while I was recording, Ted's wife says, Tony, she spoke a lot like Michelle. Tony.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Real little mouthy voice.
Yeah, no more lies. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we know her well.
You know, really small voice, and she asked me to come in and sing for this group of people that were in one of the rooms. And I didn't think to be nervous. I was already in there recording. I didn't know who they were. So I didn't have a problem walking into the room and singing, you know, a song for them. And so I did. And it turns out that those people were management at Capitol Records. And they offered me a deal right away. Seven albums.
Holy cow. That's
so
unheard of. That's astounding.
I know.
It kind of was unheard of then. Seven.
It was unheard of then. And,
absolutely.
Which, again, I didn't know that I was auditioning. So I wasn't nervous. I wasn't anxious. I was warmed up. I was ready for this. And that's what happened. And so the gentleman who would be responsible for me in terms of A&R was fired soon after I was signed. And their intention was for me to delve into Nat King Cole's catalog. And record and, you know, restructure or find some of these classics. And I was 19, 20, so I didn't
because
even
he was the main Capitol big-time artist.
But
wasn't
I was
he?
Ignorant
yeah,
he
was,
to
he
built Capitol Records.
Right, exactly.
And I was ignorant to that fact at that time.
Wow.
And I was just not interested in recording Nat King Cole's catalog. Now, in retrospect, I think that probably would have been a good idea to consider. I don't know what it would have been. But, you know, at least to give it a shot. But I wasn't really – I didn't think that I had enough – you know, I was like, Nat King Cole, come on. I was 19. So you can imagine. I just was not in the Nat King Cole frame of mind.
Well, listen, it took Natalie a while herself to record Nat King Cole, to tackle Nat King Cole's music. So I can understand that.
But now, you know, I can hear it. Mona Lisa.
Oh, yeah.
Mona Lisa, men have named you. I can hear it.
Wow.
But then I couldn't. And so the guy was fired, and he was rehired at Epic.
Oh.
His name is Don Grierson, and he convinced Epic to buy my contract from Capitol before I sang a note.
That is amazing.
It's like, wow, so all this money, all these – you know, is it really that much money? Did they really pay that much money to buy me from them in terms of my contract? Because when you say buy me, it kind of sounds a little weird. But
no, we get it. Wow.
Buy my contract. And, yeah, so when I was moved over to Epic, I was there with Michael Jackson, Luther Vandross, Tina Marie.
Wasn't that Sony, or didn't it become Sony or something?
Yeah, it was Sony. Sony Epic, and they also had Columbia. At the time, they had Mariah Carey on the other side, on the Columbia side.
Oh, my God.
So it was like,
amazing.
This guy, they have signed me, and then once they had me over there, they didn't know what to do. Like, well, okay, we got him now. Now what? And it turns out that the head of the A&R department at Epic was Johnny Gill's godfather. And all he talked about was Johnny Gill all day, every day. And so...
Okay.
It was clear that I was not going to get his full attention.
You weren't
going to
be, right. Yeah.
And then we put out She's Fly, and it caught everybody by surprise. No one expected it. And there was like, okay, we see something, but not sure what yet. And then it was Lovey Dovey. And
She's Fly was a huge, like you said, a huge hit. That's a top 10 hit.
It was. And... but they still weren't convinced. The label wasn't convinced. And somebody's calling me. I should have had my phone on Do Not Disturb. I'll call them back. I just will ignore them.
That's okay.
Anyway,
that's all
anyway,
right.
So it just went on, you know, so we had three singles off of the first album. She's Fly, Lovey Dovey, actually four, and Forever Yours, which was the title cut.
Yeah.
And then we had, I believe Young Love was on that first album as well.
And Lovey Dovey charted even higher than She's Fly, so that's amazing.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. Okay, so now it's time for the second album. And, and the first
But were you nervous, though? Because everybody always says about the sophomore thing, or what is it, the sophomore slump thing and this and that.
You know when they say ignorance is bliss. I didn't know anything about all of that. I did know it as it related to theater, because usually opening night is the adrenaline.
I never knew that it related to theater. That's amazing.
Usually the night after opening night is,
they call it
after opening night blues, because the second night is usually not nearly as good as the opening night.
Wow.
And then it picks
Thank
up.
You
the
Thank you,
Reggie.
Thank you. Oh, you really have. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why later.
Yeah. It's time to choose the first single from the second album, which was self-titled, was Head Over Heels. And it was time to choose the second single, and I had chosen With You, and the label didn't agree. They called me in for a meeting.
I can't believe they didn't agree. But
they did not agree. I mean, they were, I wouldn't say forceful, but you know, they stood where they stood. They didn't think it was a good idea.
Ahead.
And I just wouldn't let it go. I was like, nope. I think it should be With You. And they couldn't. And in fact, I remember clearly hearing the president at the time of the label say, Tone, only Stevie Wonder could get away with a song like this. I was like, yeah, okay, well, let's just see. And so they put it out. But I think that in an effort to teach me a lesson, they put out With You with, you know, back in the day, there was a whole setup. You know, there was a rollout for a single or an artist, you know, the whole setup thing, which did not happen for With You. And it was also
like the promotion that goes along with it when the record is released.
Didn't happen. And your marketing team that actually services radio, which happens on usually one day a week. And if you can imagine, back in the day, there were 40 or so major labels. So you have 40 reps from those labels going to, let's say, WBLS, and they probably have only five slots for new singles this week. But you got 40 people vying for those five slots. Okay. So my record was serviced to radio with no information on it.
It was a
blank label, which to me would have made it stand out. Even more, because you're getting a plain label, unmarked vinyl 12-inch single from Epic Records. What could that be? And you don't put anything on
it. It might have worked in your favor.
It
yeah,
did. I believe it did, because then With You started to live. It started without any support from them. There was not going to be a video. There was none of that. And then one day I happened to walk into my manager's office, and the phone was ringing, and maybe our receptionist had gone to the bathroom or something. I don't know. She wasn't there. And I answered the phone, and it was Anita Baker. She was looking for me. And I didn't
Superstar
know Anita Baker.
Anita Baker was calling herself.
Herself. She was like, this is Anita Baker, and I'm looking for Tony Terry. And I'm thinking, get out. First of all, just couldn't possibly be Anita Baker.
Had you guys worked together or anything?
I did not know her.
Wow.
Had never met her before. Had never even had a conversation with her before that moment.
Wow.
And I was a fan of hers, but, you know,
of course,
I didn't know her.
Yeah.
So she called, and I honestly did not believe that I was speaking to Anita Baker. But I went along with it. Okay.
Right.
But it would have made sense, because she was calling my office, and actually our receptionist would have taken the call, and then it probably would have gone to my managers, and then maybe gotten
it would have gone through a few folks, right?
Yeah. But I got the call.
Wow.
And then she was like, Tony, this is Tony? I was like, yeah, this is Tony. And she said, I was awakened last night by one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard in my life. And I had done The Party Machine, which used to come on after the Arsenio Hall show.
I think I remember that.
Yeah. And she said, what is going on? And I was like, well, first of all, thank you for, you know, calling. I still wasn't sure, convinced that I was talking to Anita Baker, but I went in to tell her, went on to tell her that, mm-hmm. you know, I appreciated the phone call and, you know, thank you for, you know, enjoying the music. And there was not going to be a video because the label didn't think it was a hit. And she was like, what? Those people wouldn't know a hit if it hit them in the forehead. And she made another comment. I don't know if I should repeat it, but I'm going to say it because she said, I'm on the label with Keith Washington, and Keith could not shine your shoes.
Okay, if you're out there listening, Keith, we still love you.
He's one of my boys. Nice,
yeah.
What Miss Wade
yeah,
said
no,
to me.
No, we,
and I thought wow.
Absolutely.
She said, why? I don't understand. And so, listen, Tony, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you $50,000. And I want you to shoot the video. I need to see a video. And I was like, what?
Wow.
What am I supposed to, like, how do I pay you back? How do we do this? She's like, don't even worry about it. Just blow up. Just be the star that you are. Just be the star that you are. And, you know, and then the check came certified for $50,000. And she said she was going to call Blair Underwood because she wanted him to direct. Turns out With You was his directorial debut. And he was in it. And it was, if you've seen the video, it's because.
I've seen it. We've worn it out.
Because, you know, yes. I call her my guardian angel because, and you know, what's really interesting because moving forward 20, 25 years, the Monique Show, which was being recorded here in Atlanta at the WB, I think it was. And I had been on as a guest and performed, and we had heard that Anita Baker was coming. And my mother-in-law is and was a huge fan. And, of course, so are we. So I contacted the show and told them I wanted to come back and, you know, be in the audience when she came, and they put us on the front row. And so she comes out, and she sings her song, you know, and she's all into it. She got her eyes closed, and just at the end of the song, she's singing, sweet love, don't you ever go away. And she opens her eyes, and we make eye contact, and she sees me, and I can see her recognize me. I saw that in her in her expression. And then they cut to commercial, and she calls Monique over, and they clearly are having a conversation that I would think was about me because they were looking at me. And, you know, and so it comes back from the commercial break, and Monique says, you know, during the commercial break, Miss Baker told me this story about, you know, giving this brother here, this young man, Tony Terry, and she introduced me, you know, $50,000 to shoot the video for With You. And then she asked Miss Baker, why did you do that? And she said, I was being obedient to the spirit. I was compelled to do it. And I thought, wow.
I'm speechless. That's amazing.
I thought, wow. You know, to hear the spirit speak to you, and then you move because you felt like you didn't have a choice, you had to do it, or that you would be, you know, not, you know, disobeying, you know, whatever it was. She felt compelled to do so, and I was really moved by it. She never wanted anything back. She just wanted to honor what she was led to do. It was on her spirit to do so, and she did it. And I just thought that was really a powerful thing. And then, of course,
that was amazing. That's huge.
And then when With You began to, you know, live, and the video was out, and you know, started moving up the charts. And then, of course, the label was like, oh, yeah, we knew this was a brilliant artist from the very beginning, you know? And then I'm looking at them like, I know you didn't just say
that. That is funny.
And it was then that I learned, or quickly, about the politics, because at that point, even though they had zero interest in the record, I had to let them claim, you know, the responsibility
for
its success, because, you know, if I didn't, if I had made a big stink about it, then, you know, it's just, it's politics. And it's an ego-driven business. And, you know, okay, all right, y'all did it. I'm so glad I'm signed with Epic. Two thumbs up.
Well, that song, I'm just still blown away by the fact that they could not detect that. Well, how can you be an A&R or this or that and or whatever it was, the music, you know, executive, and without, you know, just not having that little certain something. I mean, I don't understand that.
It didn't fit the song structure of the day.
Of what they had.
It was different. And, you know, the chorus didn't repeat the way choruses typically do on R&B records.
Right.
And I wasn't necessarily, while I was singing my face off, or at least I thought I was, it wasn't in a traditional R&B kind of way.
It wasn't formulaic, which is, you know, to them, you know,
I thought it was, you know, just not a good move to do. And then it turned out to be like it overshadowed
an amazing
everything.
Which has stood the test of time.
Yeah. I mean, people, when I sing songs like, you know, Lovey Dovey or She's Fly or Head Over Heels, people are like, oh, I forgot he sang that song.
Exactly.
You know?
But once you hear it, exactly.
Right. You know, With You came in and just took over. And then all of a sudden, I was this balladeer. I'm a crooner.
That song, I could play it like literally a good three times in a row. I mean, I just love it so much. And just like all of our, you know, our listeners out there, this is something that's really huge. And, you know, I was watching, I think you did a piece with someone, and it just hit me because these songs really, when people say, and I know, you know, we get a chance to have a lot of wonderful artists like yourself to come on the show, but when we say that our lives are really shaped by your music, we really need it.
That's really the truth. And it's not something that I take for granted. I have been asked to sing at homegoing services. To sing with you. And I'd be like, well,
really?
It's a little bit weird.
Wow.
And then they would say, this was, you know, this was the song that I sang to my child when my child was a baby. And, you know, it was our favorite song. And so then I felt, then it gave it a whole
That's
different
true.
Kind of weight. And, you know, I know that honestly has nothing to do with me. I say to God be the glory, because I recognize that to have the ability to affect people on an emotional level is spiritual. And that does not come from me. It comes through me. And I'm just grateful that I was gifted in such a way that I can affect people. And it's humbling. It's not something that swells me up with pride. It actually is humbling that, you know, that I have it and I'm grateful. And I always say to God be the glory.
Well, Tony, I have to say, just even in you telling the story, I was like, no, I'm thinking to myself, I would have been so upset, you know, just the fact that we might not have heard that record. Like, that is enough to just, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to get over that. Yeah. But that really tells you a lot, you know. So, folks, if you're just joining us, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, today we have a very special guest with us today. As you know, we always bring you the very latest with some of the amazing artists that are out there. And today absolutely is no exception. Mr. Tony Terry is with us, and we are just so pleased. Good morning again, Tony, and again, welcome to the show.
Again, thank you for having me, Carrie. I love it. It's refreshing when interviewers kind of know how to interview, because, you know, you have not asked one typical question yet, and I like that.
Oh, you're very kind. Well, I appreciate that. You know, I really do. I have to tell you, and just even kind of going back a little bit, one of the things that kind of got to me a little bit, I saw something where you had indicated that, like, when you kind of were starting out and you were working, I used to work, like, I'm from, you know, Jersey and Philly and New York and Jersey and all that stuff. So I was aware of the summer youth employment folks. In fact, they still owe me a certificate award to this day. But I remember them, and I heard something, and you had worked for them as well, which kind of was your unofficial paying start in the industry.
Yeah,
and I just love that story so much.
Yeah,
so please tell us a little bit more about that, because that's how you got started.
It is. You know, I was one day watching television, and this super exciting show came on called Fame, about a high school
of
performing artists. And you know, there were artists, there were dancers dancing in the hallway, there were musicians practicing, you know, on the lawn outside. There were actors working on scenes. There were visual artists painting on the walls inside the school, and there were singers, you know, having voice lessons. And I thought, wow, you can do that in school? And it took a minute to process. And then I found out that there was a school like that in D.C., the Duke Ellington School of the Arts.
Amazing.
And I the first year I asked my mom, could I audition? Because we didn't live in D.C., we lived in Maryland, in Landover, Maryland. And it would have meant a commute. And the first year I asked my mother, she said, no.
Oh, my.
I mean,
wow.
Unequivocally, no. but what? No. Okay. Because I said so. It was one of those. And and so I didn't. But the next year, I went and auditioned, and I was so green. I had never auditioned before for anything. And I didn't know how to audition. And I thought that I would take a record with me. And I had an album of Jeffrey Osborne.
Oh.
And I was going to sing along with it. That was going to be my audition. That's how green I was.
Wow.
No one told me how to audition for anything. So I go into Duke Ellington and for my audition, and I say, okay, where's the record player?
Oh, they're like,
that's not how we
right.
do it. And so I was like, well, how do you do it?
Wow.
And so they asked me if I had a song prepared, and of course I did. And I sang it, and I just happened to sing it a cappella, and they let me in.
Well,
I
have to say that is amazing.
They let me in, and I was terribly excited, and then I told my mother I auditioned.
What did she say?
She actually, after I auditioned, I told her, I said, Mom, I'm going to Duke Ellington this year. And she said, oh, okay. Like, I probably said it with, you know, like, I'm sure I said it with so much confidence because I was already in.
Right.
And I knew that, you know, like, my parents had supported me my whole life. And they knew that it was, you know, that singing was a passion for me. And so she didn't resist. And I was surprised that she didn't resist. But it meant
wow.
that I was going to have to stay with my aunt in D.C., where she welcomed me with open arms. With
that
her three other children in the hood, in the very seed of the scornful.
She
didn't lose any one of us. Nobody ever went into the system. Nobody ever got in trouble. Nobody ever. So she became this iconic person in the hood because no one messed with her children because they respected her.
I love that.
Well,
I've got to tell you. You go ahead, please.
Yeah. So I went in. I got to Duke Ellington, and it was the best time. It was the time that I learned. You know, we had a longer than normal school day. And we would do academics during the day, and then we would focus on our particular arts in the afternoon. And, you know, it was then that I learned about, you know, 8-hour rehearsals and longer, getting it until we get it right. We're going to do it until we get it right. And then the opportunity to audition for and do the street theater, which Mike Malone, one of the founders of the Duke Ellington School of the Arts, also ran by way of the D.C. Youth Employment Program under Marion Barry, who the city, if he was alive today,
mayor,
he could probably be mayor now if he was alive.
Didn't even circle back again after some issues and things?
He did.
Wow.
And when he passed away, it was, you know, they shut the city down just to honor him.
Yeah, that was huge.
It was huge. And so that was the start. And then at the end of my, which I was able to do 2 years of before I cycled out in terms of my age, and Mike Malone, who was one of the founders of the Duke Ellington School, along with Peggy Cooper Kafritz, who were also professors at Howard University, he came to me and he put his hand on my shoulder. I will never forget. And he said, "You're ready."
Wow.
"You're ready. And you can go. You go to New York with my blessing because you're ready." And I thought, wow, I got Mike Malone's stamp of approval. I mean, that means I'm really ready.
Let me tell you, Tony Terry, it is not easy to get even into the high schools. I myself, real quick, I'm going to just jump right on in and tell you. But no, I applied to the high school. They had just opened the Performing Arts High School in Philadelphia.
Right.
My audition, I was so nervous that I screwed it up. So I never got in. So I just, when I hear stories and folks like you and Jasmine Sullivan went to the one in Philadelphia. And so it just stays with me so very much. So I love, and I know exactly what you're talking about because
yeah,
I can relate, but
by,
I love
by
that.
By being green and not being ready and nervous.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you know,
the whole thing.
Staring at the clock on the back of the
amazing
room, at the wall, just trying to get through it, all of that.
Yeah, and I keep hearing Debbie Allen. What was that line? Right
sweat
here.
It starts here with sweat.
Wow.
And listen, and then I found out that Fame, the TV show, while it was set in New York, was actually based on what was going on at Duke Ellington.
No, you're kidding me. I never knew
no,
that.
No, I'm not. Debbie Allen was a teacher at Duke Ellington School of the Arts.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold it. Is that right?
That's absolutely
100%,
yes.
That says it all. Full circle. That's amazing. I did see Leroy, the one that played Leroy, God rest his soul, he passed away, but I remember seeing him out in Los Angeles. I remember hanging out one day, I saw him out there. But
he was
talented all the way through.
And a live wire. A live wire.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you say, Tony Terry, to these folks, you know, to the youngsters who are coming up, and have you had a chance to work with the, you know, the upcoming talent?
Some, you know, actually, that's really, really a good question because I have mixed feelings about encouraging people to enter this business, especially young females, because it is an ego-driven business, and mostly men and women, especially young girls, are taken advantage of more so than not. And they will go as far as to get to the threshold of success and then nothing. And then they're left to pick up the pieces of their lives and move on and then to pull it together and find something else to do when you realize that your dream of being a star is not going to happen. And it's heartbreaking, but it happens more than you could imagine. There was a young lady that was trending recently, that was shining a light on a lot of things in the music business, and I do not know her. Jaguar Wright.
Oh, okay.
A lot of the things that she said had some validity
it's
to
really,
them.
Wow.
It's really real. And
she tells,
you know,
it like it is. Let me just, for those of you who have not heard of her yet, and a lot of folks have, she really puts it on out there. But
straight, no chaser.
Yeah, she really. That's all I'm gonna say. So, but it's good to know that there's some credence to it, right? That
is, absolutely. I would not want to I would not want to release my 14, 15, 16 year old daughter into the hands of, you know, anybody, and not be there.
Well, you know, but can we say that back in the day, we just weren't aware of these things? You know, we just heard of an opportunity, and
right.
And you would have to think that you're almost, you know, I hate to say, but some of those, the parents, you know, they're getting all this money and stuff. They might have had felt that they needed to turn a blind eye or whatever they call it. You know, it's just heartbreaking, the whole thing.
It is heartbreaking. And, you know, for years and years and years, that kind of thing has gone on. And it's, you know, no one has said anything. And not only the parents have turned a blind eye because they might get a check for $50,000, which might be way more than they even make in a year.
That's
which,
right.
You know, $50,000 to someone who has nothing is a lot of money. $50,000 to someone who has money is nothing.
Right, exactly.
And so... You know,
so
money,
you're
money,
reluctant, you know.
I would be reluctant because, you know, I know that, like, a young female artist is really, 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 really tough. And I can't even stress it enough, you know, and I would suggest, you know, never, ever to be in a room alone with men if you're by yourself. I would suggest never drinking in public because, you know, you don't know what somebody can slip into your drink. I would suggest never smoking in public if that's something that you like to do. Do it in the privacy of your own home, in your own space where you're safe, because people generally in this business are not so nice.
Wow. Well, you heard it right from Mr. Tony Terry, recording artist superstar. Wow.
And it's a hard pill to swallow because it's a business that I love. It's a business that I love and still have passion for, and, you know, want to, I've been fortunate in that I've been able to continue working, but not for lack of working hard, because I put in my time, I put in my effort, and it's always about growing and improving and evolving, and never thinking that I know it all, and I'm willing to learn.
Well, you have the best disposition I've talked to in a long time when it comes to the music business, I have to tell you. Tony, I do want to ask you about one thing that entered my mind, and that is the acting part. Now, how did you kind of make that bridge across from the music over to the acting, and then kind of merging the two with maybe the, you know, like Mama, I Want to Sing and all that kind of stuff? How did that come about with the acting?
Well, it actually happened in reverse. It started with the acting. I mean, I grew up singing in church, but you know, I was trained in musical theater, and you know, acting and singing to combine
goes together. Right?
I didn't know that it was going to be the music that would catapult me into, you know, the hearts and minds of people. Because again, for me, it was just about having the opportunity to share. I always call it sharing because it's sharing. It's sharing, with people, the music, the experience. And I just didn't know how it was going to happen. I never really thought about it. I just wanted to be ready for whatever it was. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. But what crosses my mind, see, back in the day, I remember quite often, if you came out as a singer, if that's where you kind of blew up from that, then, you know, I don't know whether it was the public thing or the executives or whatever, they wanted to only pigeonhole. That's all that you got to do was to, you know, to sing. Or if you start as an actor, then that was it, and they knew
you,
you know, you blew up, that was it. These
days, you couldn't
be
a singer if you're an actor.
You could not.
Right.
You could not.
Right. You couldn't be a gospel singer if you're an R&B singer.
Exactly. That was.
And Aretha Franklin was just kind of like, you know, she just broke the mold because she decided that, you know, I'm a singer. I grew up in a church. You can't really tell me what I can't sing.
I don't know how they could ever tell Aretha anything. Aretha was Aretha. Right. He was Miss Aretha, let me tell you. But I'll tell you, I really, and it shocks me because to me, artists are not usually one-trick pony type folks.
Right.
You know, a lot of folks who are so creative and so talented, they're talented across the spectrum usually.
Yeah.
And so, so these days we get to see that a lot more.
Yeah.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Back live. It's Wednesday morning, December 13th of 2023. I'm Carrie Hines. It's our broadcast show number 933. And we are definitely live this morning. It's mid-show, second hour. We're here from 6 until 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. And speaking of Central time zones, of course, I've got to welcome our amazing co-star. We're talking about the one and only Queen of the Mornings. You know her well from Water Valley, Mississippi. The one and only.
Good morning.
Nicole
Malou. Happy mid-show.
Well, to you. Yes, happy second hour. This morning and just popping on. Did I still say that? Probably not. But anyway, yeah, good morning, everybody. And again,
good
happy mid-show. You've been listening.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have.
We had on
one
Tony
of my favorite interviews, Carrie.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
One of
mine, too.
I love it.
Well, you know, there was such a wonderful symbiotic type thing going on. I listened to the interview real well for the first time in a very, very long time that we had Tony on. And we need to pop back in. I'm going to check in with him and see what he's up to these days. But Tony,
great,
who hails from, he came over to the same area. I graduated from school in East Orange, New Jersey, of course. That's where Whitney and her family lived as well, and Dion and all of them at some point. But it was really amazing to hear him tell the story. And you guys heard this right towards the end this morning when he was talking about, you know, kind of like if you have young daughters and all of that, and, you know, in terms of the music industry, you know, you have to kind of guard them,
right.
You know, because you have, you know, they are so talented and doe-eyed, if you will. And you can't let them just go out there. You know, sadly, a lot of folks are not so nice, as he put it, in the music business. And
exactly.
Look where, I'm not going to name names, but you know who's on the hot seat right now.
Exactly.
Yeah, and boy, oh boy. So, and it was kind of, he kind of told us these things. And that interview was done a while ago. So for him to share that, and look where we are today. Now, when he shared that, we were not really talking about it so much. It hadn't reached to the fever pitch. you know, necessarily. But as you said, it's been happening all along, but it's just, you know,
exactly.
It's just bubbled up now, and it's in everybody's mind, and I don't know, but I was really...
So sad.
I was, like, shocked when he was saying, you know, don't have them if you're a young lady, you know, don't... And probably neither one, either if you're a young man or woman, but definitely
right.
the young
yeah.
girl. You know, don't drink if you're out there in public, and don't, you know, you have to... And it's crazy because for men, there's such a difference in how... young fellas are raised versus how young ladies might be raised. And it's not that, you know, you don't want that every, of course, everybody should be treated equally. But of course, we, I feel that, you know, I rather err on the side of making sure that the young ladies are protected,
right.
you know, and doing, you know, just not out there mixing it up with a lot of folks. It's too, I don't know. It seems like things, I guess
too
they've
much
always
goes
been
on.
Like this. But it seems like
right.
it's worse now.
Worse.
Maybe
it's definitely more
me.
Prevalent now. Like
maybe
you said,
that's what it,
I believe it's been going on all along, but now people
yeah.
are talking about it and have brought awareness to it. So, you know, people know. But, I mean, I believe it's still just as prevalent. You just have to watch both, like I said, males and females. But, you know, I know he
right.
was speaking of the young ladies, but
right.
it goes both ways.
Ladies.
So,
yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. My heart just goes out. My heart goes out when I hear stuff, and especially when we think, you know, we kind of put these, a lot of people, celebrities, on pedestals. I mean, it just kind of happens. That's
right.
the way, you know, it seems. You know,
right.
so
and then you have young people that want to be stars
yeah.
so bad, and they, you know, they're put in
exactly,
situations
exactly.
where they feel like they have to do this or do that to be able to
and
make
Nicole
it. Or oh,
just
this person,
on the head.
Yeah,
that's right.
This person thinks I'm
and
so
exactly
great,
what we're
so
about.
Okay, I'm going to have
yeah.
to do this. You know,
absolutely, and
so,
and folks, you know what? That's exactly what we're talking about. The folks who are. You know, getting into show business. I'm sorry, maybe I left that part out. But the people who are trying to get into show business and, you know, and trying
right.
to, you know, and
they
you get all.
Big, right?
you get, yeah, and not a good idea. And even,
no,
I don't even know, because even, you know, I don't know. I think, I don't know. I just, it's real sad. And I'm sorry to see some of these, you know, folks. And all I'm going to say, again, I'm not going to name names, but you guys know who I'm talking about. And this, normally when somebody's accused like this, you see all the other celebrities, oh, that, you know, this person would never do it, da-da-da-da-da. Well, I haven't seen a woman.
Nobody's saying anything. Not one.
Nothing. Crickets.
Not one.
Crickets. So I'm trying to figure out what in the world. So
you know,
all
Carrie,
I know is that
what I have a problem with that you now that you mentioned that is if that is the case and they're crickets and nobody's stepping up and saying anything. Okay,
isn't that bad? Yeah.
Yeah, that's sad.
Well, you know what? Yeah.
That says
go
to
ahead,
me
Nicole,
some people knew
yeah.
what he was possibly doing and didn't step up and say anything. So to me, that says you're just as guilty. If you don't step up
oh,
and say anything.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I agree with you on that. No, this is, I believe that because there's always rumblings, you know, and I believe that rumblings, I've heard even little stuff, but you don't, you know, I'm not out there in that world like that. So I
right.
don't know, but I'm thinking that, you know, people probably do know these things, and not just with that
exactly.
particular case that we're kind of alluding to,
right.
but, you know, a
right.
lot of these cases.
They talk about all these parties and all this, all these different
yeah,
instances
but remember,
that have happened.
A lot of the parents, remember what Tony Terry said, a lot of the parents, I don't know if he was saying parents, but he was saying that maybe they get like a big check or something and they probably turn their heads or think
right.
that it's okay. You know what I
money
mean?
Talk.
They rationalize
right.
it somehow. Yeah, because, you
right.
know, somebody sits up here
this
and put
crazy.
A $75,000 check in front of your eyes, and you know, you're like, I could take off the next year and a half to 2 years. And but that's somebody's gonna pay the price
for money. I don't see how.
Well, that's what I.
You
well,
know,
listen. Let me tell you something.
But you know, hey.
I was about to say, Nicole Marie. I
my
wish
child
that weren't
is more
the
important
case.
Than that. So
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
I don't.
No, not just all. Yeah, all kids, all
right.
children, and this is why we're having this conversation, because that's the problem. Is that they throw this money at people. And while, you know, I don't know. I can't say exactly because that's not my mindset. But I would
right.
imagine, and I don't have any children, so I can't say, but I would imagine that this is the kind of thing that goes through these folks' minds. And I think that's what he was
right.
saying, is that, you know, they throw this money out. You know, somebody who has a lot of money, that's nothing. That's not even 10 cents,
exactly.
you know, to somebody like us. But to them, it's nothing. And to that person's family, you know, they're buying houses and cars and all this kind of
right.
stuff.
Right. All they see
you know,
is dollar signs.
I could see this. Yeah, that somebody could be swayed. And that's and I think that's what the problem is, because that's why we have all these people with these problems. So
exactly.
anyway, but by us talking about it, it's going to make less and less occurring, I think. You know, that
exactly.
we're shining the light on it. I think it'll have a good impact. So on that wonderful, you know, awakening note this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show, I tell you, you should be awake by now. If you're not awake, you're awake now.
That gets me riled.
Right. It's a lot going on. But you know what? I'm glad of the conversation. I really am.
Exactly.
I'm sorry that people
and that's
have
what we
to
need.
Deal
that's
with
what it's
this
about.
Kind of crap.
It's about conversation. And more people need to be
mm-hmm.
having conversations about it.
Yes. Oh, well, you know, this is a bit shocking. This one really, I don't know. And it's not like I'm a fan. I've never been a fan of the accused person in his last go round. But
neither have I.
I've never been a fan. But you know what? I still am kind of, I hate to say, but I'm a little disappointed. Is that wrong
mm-hmm.
to say? I'm disappointed because, you know, as an African-American male, I don't know. I think we can do better. I think
exactly.
we all can do better.
We can do a lot better.
Yes, we got to do, especially when you're given so much. You're given
exactly.
so much. Can you imagine all the good you can do?
Exactly.
That's the thing that gets me. All the good you can do, and this is the way that you go about what you're doing. Wow. And
so
the light is coming on, and oh, goodness. So listen, Nicole Marie, we got to welcome everybody again. It's a Wednesday morning, December 13th. I have to tell
oh,
you,
yes.
That first hour of our show, we dig into the vaults and try to find some of the old pieces and things that you might want to hear again and others that you have told us you want to hear again. And then I have some favorites, and you guys have some favorites, I'm sure. So that's kind of what the first hour we try to do that.
Right.
So it was really interesting. But, yeah, Tony, I thought was just fantastic.
Yeah.
So every so often I love to hear Tony. I love it, love it, love it. And who else? Kim, I love all those that we kind of really walk you through a story. Does that make sense?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I found it interesting this morning, and I kind of laughed to myself. It's like, ooh, the weather has cooled down a lot. And then I heard Siobhan this morning. She was talking about June being the favorite month.
Yes.
Talking about
yes,
planting
I
the flowers
that.
And all the beautiful
yes.
things in the month of June.
Yes.
I was like,
yes.
ooh, I want some of that June weather
yes.
right now.
Well, you know what? I put her on early this morning. Like I said, we run some of our old clips. And I
right.
just love that she was on talking about spring. And
yes.
she was going to town.
Yes, she
I
was.
Said, well, you
she
know
was.
What? We really need that. We need it.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I always say that
and
never
a such
thing
well.
As an accident. So
exactly.
we're happy. We need a little bit of spring right about now, especially here in New
yes,
York.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah, so really good stuff. You know, we're always excited and just happy to just keep things rolling along and all of that. I think it was late last night, like knocked out sleep. I don't even know what time. My phone rings, of course, and who is it? But good old Sam from BOPSA, which was really nice.
Oh, Sam.
Yeah. I don't know what time it was. I have no idea to this moment. I just know I was already asleep. But, but you know, like I tell folks, we live the hair radio show all the time, literally.
Exactly.
And Sam's like, he's like, oh, the wife just was asking about you, and I had been meaning to call and check in with you. And we do that from time to time for folks in our industry. We do check in because you never know what folks are going through. And I always check in to make sure that folks are okay. I always try to do that. And so it's nice to see, and I said thank you to them. No, everything is wonderful and just working hard to just, you know, keep doing what we're doing. So, yes, Sam, yes, I'm just talking to you through the radio show this morning. Absolutely, we will be
putting out a new
edition of AfroLock magazine. So he was asking about that, you know, we'll be giving you some updates. In the next hour, we're looking at some of our top stories. So Michael Hopkins will be with us in about 10 minutes. And we're looking at some of our big, big stories, not just over the course of the year, but also some of the other things that are going on. And just, you know, we're just doing some big things. Now, Nicole, I don't know if you saw this, but I was so sad. Actor Andre Brower passed away. And, it was reported just yesterday. And I have to say, I'm really sad. That Brooklyn Nine-Nine show or whatever that, remember he was on that and so many movies. He usually played in the dramatic roles. Actor, you know, real well-known guy. And just wanted to say rest in peace, Andre Brower. We will miss you. And he was only 61. So certainly not a real senior there. Just having done so much and accomplishing so much. And, you know, so our hearts go out to his family and his friends.
And thoughts and prayers to them.
A lot going on. Now, what's going on down there? So now what is the weather down in WV? No snow. You guys don't get much snow, right?
No, we don't. If we do, it's a little dusting or maybe an inch or so. And, you know, it's not long before it's gone. But right now, like this morning, it's about 31 degrees, but it's supposed to warm up to 60 today. So, you know, we're still in between 50s and 60s right now.
Good.
Yes, it is. It is. And I know through the weekend, that's what it's supposed to be, in the 50s and 60s. So we're doing pretty well down here right now.
Yeah, you're doing real well. I mean, I'm like, okay. I'm kind of sorry. Because up here in Brooklyn, it's a little bit on the chilly side.
Well, it's chilly this morning, but it's going to warm up.
Yeah. But see, you guys warm up a lot more than we do.
Yeah.
But,
what's going to be the high there?
Well, I think today we will reach, I believe, I think 39, I think right now. So we'll probably get up to the mid-40s, and we might hit 50. There is some talk about a warm-up towards the end of the week. But here's the thing of what they're saying in the Northeast, at least in my neck of the woods in Brooklyn, New York area, and they're saying that, you know, we have, normally by this time, there has been measurable snow in the Northeast, and we have not had any measurable snow, at least maybe in New York City, could have been in New Jersey. So it's, you know, by this date, we normally already have had some kind of snow measurement. nothing
right.
so far. So, you know, but, you know, some folks love the snow, you know, and that kind of thing. I like to see it come down. I don't like it to stick so much, but that's, you know, so that is Cheryl Lynn. Oh, boy, waking up in the morning. So we've been just kind of getting up still somehow. Between 3 and 5, I wake up like clockwork, and I love it. Yes, I love it, love it, love it. And we were talking about that on yesterday's show, and I still love to get up early and get things done. Morning person, yes, and I love it. Okay, so Nicole Marie, I've got to talk about all the things that kind of keep us going, as you guys know. And we're still doing all the community work and, you know, being an elected official down there in your neck of the woods or your area down in Water Valley, Mississippi. And I've been appointed to my community board here in Brooklyn, New York. And Nicole is doing his veterans, ACA is an accredited claims agent, I call it, doing just great job. We're community-based and community-involved. And
exactly.
So all of that. Yes,
it's what it's about.
Serving other people and spreading what I call a little hope. So, Nicole Marie, we have got to talk today about what hope of the day is all about. And we have created this wonderful, wonderful introduction that I just love because it gets to tell, it just gives you a moment to kind of, you know, find out what Hope of the Day is all about. So let's take a listen, and we'll ask Nicole Marie to weigh in.
Well, first of all, hope is important to each and every one of us because it gives our lives meaning. It's that belief that our future can be better than our past. So no matter what we may have been through, going through, going to go through, there's always hope. Just that positive expectation that change can and will occur in all of our lives. So every day, I share an inspirational way from a book by Patrick Lindsay, and it's called High Hope.
All right, Nicole Marie. So I am so excited to hear what you have on tap for us today with Hope, Hope of the Day.
All right, Carrie, the hope of the day for this Wednesday is do what you love and love what you do. Lose yourself in your work. Aim high. Chances are you'll find yourself that way. Trust what inspires you. It will lift you to unexpected heights. Back to you, Carrie.
Thank you, Nicole Marie. Wow, I love that. Trust what inspires you.
Trust what inspires you.
Can't be said much better than that. And my favorite thing, of course, everybody knows that old saying where you do what you love and it feels like you've never actually had to work.
Work a day.
You know,
right.
Yeah, you know, so I'm a big fan, of course, about pursuing your passion. I think that I wear that on my forehead. I really do. I'm a big fan of doing what you love, you know, not making sacrifices. You got to make sacrifices, don't get me wrong, but you need to pursue your passion. You'll feel much better. And you can last the longest at whatever you do. You know, if you love it, you will keep doing it. And that's where we are with our efforts here. I love getting a chance to work in the industry and, you know, and do what we do and kind of forge our way, which is what we've done. I'm looking forward to, you know, bringing back our magazines and all the things that we're on. I have to work for some stuff out west and just a lot of things we are focused on here at the show. But that's because I get to do what I love to do every
day.
You know, so what about you, Nicole Marie?
I totally agree with Patrick Lindsay.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Trust what inspires you. It will lift you to unexpected heights. I love that because
it's nothing worse than doing something that you don't want to do because you're not going to give your all to it. You know, you may go through it just, you know, enough to get by. But when you're doing something that truly inspires you, that's your passion, that you love, you're going to give your all to it. Because that's what fuels you. Exactly. And it's going to keep you going and keep you moving, doing new things, creative things, and just keep you moving along. So that is going to take you to unexpected heights. You never know where it may take you. But because of your passion and your drive and your work to that particular thing, that craft, then it's going to take you places. You just have to stick with it and keep going.
Ooh.
Ooh. So I love that.
Well, that is incredible. Well, we got to find out. Got to find out how Michael Hopkins, the host of the Vet Talk radio show, you guys heard him yesterday on the broadcast at 8:30 Eastern on Tuesday mornings. Want to see how he weighs in on this and if he is a believer about doing what you love to do. Michael
Hopkins,
are you there?
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning.
Happy Wednesday, December 13th, and mid-show. We're at that midpoint,
Michael.
Yes, midpoint. And
yes,
wow.
Yes, Michael, I think we were just talking. You may have heard Nicole Marie quoting from the book. So do you also love to do what you do, or do you see the benefit of loving what you do? And your work. And so this is kind of tailor-made for you as well. What do you think?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. I had no idea almost six years ago that I was going to become an accredited claims agent and help veterans with their claims for compensation. I just saw there was a need to help veterans. Because I kept running into the same issues over and over again when I would talk to other veterans about filing for claims for compensation. And I had no idea it was going to lead me to, in 2023, to be an accredited claims agent. And I'm very passionate, as you both know, and our fans out here know, that I'm very passionate about it. Very passionate. You know, I've been known in my vet group to have like a little running joke. They say, well, if you're going to get with Mike with your claims, you better pack your lunch and perhaps your dinner because you're going to be with him for a long time. Yeah. So
wow.
I am passionate about what I do. And Nicole Marie, you hit it on the head. If you're not passionate about something that you do, it becomes a job. But when you're passionate about something, and Carrie Hines, you can attest to this, passionate about something, it's not a job. It is not a job. It is something that you just, it doesn't matter if you have good times with it, bad times, round times. It doesn't matter. You love what you do.
Well, I thought you
Back
were going to
you,
say,
Carrie,
Michael,
huh?
It's not a job. It's an adventure.
It's an adventure. Oh, my, yeah.
I thought that's where you were going, Michael Hopkins.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Listen, great job on that. Really good stuff, you know, and really great talk. And I just got to say, awesome. Awesome job. So, Nicole Marie, Michael Hopkins, we're going to get into all of this morning. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk about yesterday's broadcast of the Vet Talk radio show and so much more that's kind of going on. We're looking back at some of the 90s hit music. And this is one of my real old school jammies. So just stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. This was Case and Foxy Brown. You know who they are. Stay with it.
Bye-bye, you keep me laced up. Vanilla Tracy, Peter Fugati, Isaac Mizrahi, up around the Doce, Gabbana sipping pure J with the ill nana. Yeah, you up around, I had your loyalties and your joints, you're in your royalties and your points. So what the deal is, with Foxy Brown McCain, now we lay Bonnie McClyde, now I'm up in Jamaica breaking all your paper.
You're the only one for me, you're the only one I need. Can nobody make me feel the way you're making me feel. And girl, you know that love is real.
Listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show, the number one hair and beauty radio show worldwide, and the longest running hair and beauty radio show.
Now, Dr. Praneet James, I want to say that I remember you, you were part of the How to Get Rich in the Hair Business book several years ago. It's been several years at this point. But let's talk about your career. Now, with trichology. That's a big thing out there. We always have to tell folks because not everyone is still, even at this time, as familiar with what trichology is all about. So let's start at the beginning. Tell everybody a little bit about what trichology is all about.
Absolutely. Trichology is the study of the hair and the scalp. I work very closely with men, women, and children suffering from various hair and scalp disorders, hair loss, or just in general trying to get their hair to a healthy state. So I actually take a holistic approach to overall hair health.
I see. And what does that approach include? Because when you say a holistic approach, what does that mean?
A holistic approach. I'm also a naturopathic doctor. And we take, again, the holistic approach, meaning I take
approach from the body system. Our body has 12 different systems, so normally when someone comes in for hair loss, what I do is do a body scan, and what that does is it tells me exactly what body systems are out of range. So, for example, a lot of my women that come in, they have their glandular system is out of range. Now, the glandular system is the system that houses their adrenal glands. That's the system that helps them to sleep. That's the system that consists of, you know, the menopause issues stem from that particular system, a lot of your autoimmune issues. So if that system is out of range, of course, it's going to reflect in the hair. So that's what I like to do. We get to the culprit of what's actually going on versus just topically treating. So about a 97% of my patients that I treat have a nutritional deficiency, which, of course, is the major contributing factor to the hair loss. So by getting to that culprit, we're going to prevent them from, you know, spinning their wheels. Just like if someone has a circulatory system, you probably say, what does that have to do with hair loss? It has a lot to do with it, because if the circulatory system is out of range, then it's going to reflect in the hair, because the blood, you know, of course, the circulatory system controls the blood, and if there is a blockage or inflammation in the body, the blood is flowing to the papilla. The papilla is what feeds the actual hair follicle. So, again, if there is a blockage, then, of course, that's going to block the hair growth and cause, you know, hair loss, et cetera. So, huge, you know, our body systems, that's a, you know, like I said, if it's something that's out of range, then it's going to reflect in the hair. Our hair is the barometer of our health. So pretty much if you have some type of, you know, a major health condition or if something is out of range, it's going to reflect in the hair first.
Today we also are discussing the topic of hair loss. And we have with us someone who has been courageously fighting hair loss. And her name is Mary T. And Mary, we want to welcome you to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network today.
Thank you. Glad to be a part. Thank you very much.
Now let's just jump in, Mary. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I've been living in California for the past 40 plus years. I'm originally from Arkansas. I started dealing with hair loss though in California probably about 10, 12 years ago.
Well, tell us about that. So when you say you were dealing with hair loss, tell us what you mean.
Well, at first I got something like, it was almost like a pimple in the top of my head. As I was combing my hair, I really didn't think anything about it. And it was really sore. And then it was there and it would go away. And then it didn't bother me for a while. My hair, I didn't notice any changes in my hair or anything of that sort. And then it seemed to occur every 2 or 3 months and then more often. So finally, I start seeing hair loss. I went to the doctors. The doctor, you know, did a diagnosis of me. He had me come back several times. And then he also had me come back several months with a pool of doctors from the Sacramento, Los Angeles area. And I believe he had a couple of doctors from some parts of Texas, too. I felt like I was on display because they was all kind of looking at my scalp, took hair samples to look under the microscope. They also looked at my scalp under the microscope. And it took them, you know, a few weeks to come back to me with the diagnosis said that I had alopecia areata. And they gave me a little bit of information about that, indicated that it could be from straightening comb, when I was using straightening comb, which I really didn't use very much, but they said it could be from straightening combs and from perms. A combination. My type hair loss is the, I kind of have a male baldness. It started off real thin and now in the very top, I really kind of have no hair and it's gotten very thin around the edges. So I kind of got a little depressed, discouraged. So at one point I just shaved it all off to kind of see what would happen. The edges came back, you know, but the top where it had came, where I lost the hair did not come back. I was also instructed by a hairdresser at the time that was taking care of my hair to use Nioxin shampoo and conditioner, and that was supposed to be really good. But I think it was good from what I understand, if the hair loss wasn't as severe as mine. And, of course, I mean, it felt good to the scalp, but it really did not bring any of my hair back, do anything. That point, I start using wraps and different things for the hair because I was very uncomfortable. I was very uncomfortable with wigs and wraps, but it got to the point that I lost so much hair. I went to a place that specialized in cancer and alopecia patients to look at wigs, and then they introduced me to some wigs that was soft to the touch of the skin versus, you know, really some of the wigs are really sticky, kind of stick to your skin and real itchy. So I started wearing those, and I got a little bit more comfortable. And I'm comfortable with them, but it would be nice if I had hair, but I don't think that that's going to happen at this point because it's been so long and I keep losing hair. Once in a while now, the pimples will come back, not that often, maybe once every 2-3 months or so I may get that, and it's very sensitive for me to touch my head or comb it. I still shampoo my hair, condition it every other day because I work out and I sweat a lot. So I still want to make sure.
Mary, we want to let everybody know that you're still being treated, correct? This is ongoing treatment for you.
Yes, it is, but nothing is happening really.
In November 2022, researchers found out that women who use chemicals in their hair, such as hair relaxers, are likely to develop uterine cancer. At Heal & Go, we pride ourselves as the producers of all-natural hair care products. We use all-natural organic ingredients in our products to ensure a chemical-free process. Visit our website at www.healandgo.com to read about all our products and their uses. Again, our website is www.healandgo.com.
I honestly feel like that's why most people don't have solid friendships, because mm-hmm. it's the proximity that has power over them
yeah.
instead of them having power over their proximity.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is if you go to work every day and you see the same people, well, I see you so often that now you've become my best friend. But you never really should have been my best friend. We're not actually in alignment. I just see you
I'm
comfortable enough that I start telling you things I shouldn't tell you. And so then we get mad when Sally goes and tells all our business.
Yeah.
Or we get mad when Sally goes and does whatever she does. But Sally's really just being Sally.
Yeah.
So
you didn't know Sally to begin with.
Right. I didn't get mad at Sally for being who she is. I
yeah.
just get mad at myself for putting Sally in best friend slot when she's not qualified.
That is good.
We need to stop qualifying people
yeah.
that are literally not putting in the work. They're just showing up.
Have you been feeling like you're getting the short end of the stick when it comes to reading stories about our community? Well, I have. And so I'm glad to tell you that you should be subscribing to AfroLock Magazine at AfroLockMagazine.com. AfroLock Magazine is a great new monthly publication that really does unlock the richness and complexity of Black culture truly from the only perspective that matters, ours. So, subscribe today at www.AfroLockMagazine.com and be connected. AfroLock Magazine, we're making Black progress together.
Well, it's like, I get to wake up early and have a cup of coffee and breakfast with my favorite two folks in the whole wide world every day. That's Nicole Marie and Michael Hopkins, and I'm Carrie Hines, right here on the All Know Hair Radio Morning Show. And you get to do the same thing. We start from 6 a.m. Eastern, 5 Central Time. Take the show all the way to 9 o'clock in the morning here in New York live. Always make it a great day.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to RuggedEvo.com. That's RuggedEvo.com.
And remember, Rugged is the new smooth.
And welcome back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Carrie, over to you.
All right, it's Wednesday morning, December 13th of 2023. I'm Carrie Hines. It is about 7:45 in the morning. If you're on the East Coast, 6:45 for those in the Central Time Zone. And I got to say, lots of wonderful things. I'm just sitting here saying what a great third hour we're about to get into, because we're looking at some of the top stories that are kind of going on out there and just going to share a lot. So it's going to be a little bit strong. So if you're not used to that, this might be a good time to kind of, you know, clear the room of folks who you might have some sensitive ears, because we're going to look at things and we're going to be, I call it Real Talk Wednesday. So that's coming up in the next hour. So Michael Hopkins, our co-host, from Water Valley.
Whoa.
Beautiful Pennsylvania. Almost said it, Michael Hopkins. One of those jars where every time you say something wrong, you got to put a dollar in. We're live radio. Yeah, so you can imagine I'd be broke in about a week, you know. Just trying to guard, you know, and always have to be on with what you say. We're communicators, Michael. That's what we do every day on the Hair Radio
Very much
Morning
so.
Show. Yes. And speaking of Michael Hopkins being a communicator, you communicate every week with the Vet Talk Radio Show, Tuesday mornings at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. And you had a very, very special broadcast yesterday. So, Michael, can you tell us a little bit about what you covered on Vet Talk Radio?
Oh, yes, Carrie. Yesterday, we were talking about five PTSD secondaries, and they're overlooked.
Wow.
That's what we're talking
Michael,
about. Michael,
and only
today.
Your regular fans would know what you mean by secondaries.
Very much
so. Take us back a little bit, Michael. Remind us again what PTSD stands for and what are a secondary.
Yes, pretty much, Carrie, with PTSD, that is post-traumatic stress disorder. In other words, you've had some kind of traumatic event, and that event stays with you pretty much forever.
Wow.
And ever, and certain things can trigger that event. And even though we talk about military people and military service, just about anyone can have PTSD or some kind of post-traumatic event in their lives. We just happen to be, because it's the Vet Talk Radio Show, we just happen to be talking about veterans and how there are other things that come about once they've been diagnosed with PTSD.
Wow.
And you were saying
that is incredible. And I'm, as
yes.
you're talking and telling everybody and reminding everybody, I'm thinking about that folks, you know, on the civilian side, like you said, they're coping with this kind of challenge, but I can see the stresses of obviously of folks in the military. To me, it goes without saying, but I guess we got to say it still. This is big, because without saying it, folks may not realize that this is much more prevalent I believe. But, it is very prevalent in the military. And so it may not be something that talked a lot about until now. We're starting to kind of make it more socially acceptable to kind of bring up and feel a little better about sharing. But, Michael, that a lot of that I have to credit you with keeping that on the hot seat. So I thank you for that and being able to share through the radio and connect the folks in the military and quite frankly, a lot of folks who are not. But just by listening to you talk about PTSD, mean folks may get help.
Very much so. And that's the objective here, Terry Hines.
Yes.
That's the objective
is
to get the help that you need for this.
Yes.
There are a lot of the first responders now that they may not have been in combat. Traditionally, what we would call combat is military, but they're in a different type of combat when they're out here on the street, the law enforcement people, the EMS people, even the emergency room people, they're facing PTSD.
Wow.
Yes, so it's a wow. It is a wow, Kerry. And it's at the forefront now. It is, and
now,
as
Michael,
you so eloquently put it.
Thank you, Michael. Did you hear from any of the fans, because they were just listening as well? Has anybody gotten back to you on any of what broadcast with VCR yesterday?
Actually, Kerry, speaking of PTSD, the broadcast actually helped me work on a couple of my cases. As an accredited claims agent.
We got to remind everybody. Yeah, Michael is the man. I call him the king of claims. He aids the veterans with their disability claims, and so which can certainly add to their monthly compensation. And so this could be a game changer. It could be life changing for the veterans who may not know how they can qualify that, so that those, you know, how it can represent what's going on with them and make that financial difference. So I'm so proud of the work that you're doing. So what has happened? You said it helped you with two or more. What happened? Tell us. Do
pretty
tell,
much,
Michael Hopkins.
Pretty much, Kerry. I have two of my vets that I'm helping right now with their claims for compensation. It just so happens both of the veterans suffer from PTSD combat. They're both combat veterans. And within the overlooked secondaries, one of them actually showed up for each one of them as an overlooked secondary. And that's that magic four-letter word. And it begins with a G, ends with a G.
I was about to say, not, you know, it just reminds me of the, I think it was one of the Frankie Avalon or Frankie Valli, one of them singing in the Greece word. And
oh,
all I want to
yeah.
say is, GERD is the word that you heard.
GERD is the word.
Yes, GERD is the word. That's
yeah.
the song. Not quite in the movie Greece.
No,
okay.
no,
but,
I don't think they sang that in Greece. I don't think Frankie Avalon sang that in Greece.
No, not
but,
quite.
Yeah, not quite, Terry, not quite.
Yeah, what I love about this is that if you missed it, what we're going to do, something special, we're testing it out. I don't know if we're going to be able to do this every Thursday, but we're going to, in that first hour of the Hair Radio Morning Show, so about 6:15, 6:30, we'll get on a replay of Tuesday's Vet Talk broadcast. So this is going to be exciting, where if you missed it yesterday, tomorrow you get a chance to listen in early and catch it again, because it's really good. Good stuff.
Yeah, very much so,
Karen. And we want to make sure that, we support what Michael is doing across the board at the Hair Radio Morning Show. We want to remind folks that the Hair Radio Morning Show is about hair, it is about beauty, and it's also about community.
Community.
And, yes, absolutely. And this puts the C in there, and we're real happy about that.
Very
now, listen,
much
we've
so.
Got a lot to cover in the next hour. Again, we're going to be doing a whole bunch of talk about some of the hot topic button topics out there and some of the recent stories and just kind of seeing how we weigh in on things. And we've been kind of, you know, for me, I start with the programming about Dr. King. I'm always working like a month ahead. So I'm always into the next month on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You know, we're working on our New Year's Eve coverage and all of that. So we got a whole lot of things we're going to talk about in the next hour. So we're going to take a little bit of a music break. And when we come back, we got a lot of stuff to get into today. So I hope you got your mic all warmed up and ready.
Oh, very much so. Very much so.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to kind of just make it a real nice. This is one of my favorite old songs from Jeffrey Osborne. So, you know, I got to get on Brother Jeffrey every so often. So
very much so.
Yes. So we're about to get into some great, great talk. You don't want to go anywhere. Again, we're live on this Wednesday morning, December 13th of 2023. We're digging back into our music vault. And the playlist today, of course, includes Jeffrey Osborne. You guys heard from Kate. And also we got some more on the way with some Christmas stuff and Neo and all kinds of things. So take a listen. We'll be back. Stay with us. Okay, well, let's see if this is going to kick in. And let's see if it's...
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
All right, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have with us guests that you kind of just recently were introduced to, and I wanted them to come back to the show to tell us a little bit more. And I've got to say, first of all, Takiya, you know, just having you and Cammie on the show, we got so much wonderful response about this incredible book. And her being such a wonderful author. So real good excitement. I want to get you guys back on and talk a little bit more. So welcome back to the show for both of you this morning. Welcome back.
Thank you. We are excited to be here.
Awesome. Okay, I want to jump right on with Cammie and Cammie's Spa Party, which is an incredible book. Again, let's remind everybody first. Cammie, you're what, about 11 years old or so?
Yes, I'm 11.
11. And here you are, a published author. How does that feel?
It feels good.
Okay. Well, listen, tell us a little bit about what Cammie's Spa Party is all about.
Cammie's Spa Party is a book that I created when I was 7 years old because at the time my mom owned a hair salon and kids were like really, 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 really scared to go to the salon. So with like the kids being very scared, like my mom brought up the idea of why not making a book about it. And at the time I was just bored, so I said sure, and then at the age of 6, I was writing, and at the age of 7, we had the book published.
Wow. And how did that make you feel?
It felt good that I was a young person making books.
Yes. And I've got to ask you, Cammie, how about the kids at your school? How did they feel about you having a book called Cammie's Plot Party? How did they feel about that?
I didn't tell them.
What? Okay. Not at first. You didn't mention it to them at first?
No. I didn't mention it because I don't know why, but I just didn't want to.
Okay. Okay.
But I did tell them. I told my friend today that I create my friend. Her name's Elena, and we go to school together. And she sits next to me in ELA, and I had told her that I created a book.
And what was her response?
She said, "Oh, that's nice." And then we had a shush because we had to go back to class.
I'm loving this. Okay, listen, if you guys have just joined us out there, you're listening to an all-new edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show, and I have a very, very special guest that who was recently with us, and I'm so happy to have her back on the show. We're talking about Cammie Love. Now, she is the author of this incredible book. Now, let me just say, she's 11 years old and is already a published author. The book is called Cammie's Spa Party. So, Cammie, I know you led in a little bit with what it's about. Kind of remind everybody again a little bit what Cammie's Spa Party is all about.
Cammie's Spa Party is about telling kids and letting kids know that it's not that bad to be able to get your hair done. Like, getting your hair washed is fine. And you get to get, like, if you have germs in your hair, you get to get the germs out. And you, like, it's just a lot of fun about the book that I loved about it. And then, like, I would introduce it to all my friends, and they would be like, yeah, this is really cool. Like, I used to be scared to go to the hair salon, and it's kind of making it better, and I'm getting more comfortable with having to go get my hair done.
Wow. And when you look at the wonderful pictures, it's so beautiful to see just, from folks that look like my family, it looks amazing, the cover. I love it. Great artwork. Really well done. Again, Cammie's Spa Party. Yes, Cammie. So now, are you going to be writing more books?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to share anything, any idea that you might have already, or you want to wait and tell us a little later?
I'll tell you guys now a little bit of it. A few years ago, I was thinking of writing a book about denim because I was watching Lila Poles, I think it was, on YouTube when she was, like, famous.
Okay.
And when Vine was famous as well, it was, like, a funny laughing video thing on YouTube. And whenever that was famous, I was, like, I want, like, because she had made a skit of Denim Girl, which was, like, a superhero, and the superhero did everything in denim. So I was thinking of making a book about that. And then since a few years ago, and my logo for, like, my book has always been unicorns because when I made the book, my favorite colors were pink and purple. Since I made that book, my favorite colors have changed a lot from, like, going through clear, white, black, red, blue, green, pink, hot pink, white, different colors. My favorite color has never really changed from red since I made that book.
Wow.
So probably going to change up the ideas of making a unicorn book and making a girl book because, like, I'm a little bit older now.
Well, it sounds like it. Okay. Well, first of all, I have to say thank you for just taking the time to be a guest on our show. And I know you always shout out your mom and dad, your siblings, your brothers, you know, so thank you so much for just doing what you're doing and keep on being a writer and just all that you're doing out there and with all the books and just more about Cammie's Spa Party. I can't wait to see what else is next. All right.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you for being on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And thank you. Okay. Now, hold it. I've got to talk to Takiya Smith. Takiya, good morning again. The mom of Tammy, yes.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. First of all, it's great to have you back on the show. That's number one, to have both you and Cammy on the show again, because this is really important. I really don't know too many, like, young folks who are published authors. I don't know too many adults who are. So this is big, big news, big things here. So how does that make you feel? That it's received so well.
It makes me feel really good. I'm so proud of her.
Yeah.
She just did her book donation for the backpack drive. And
wow.
So the kids are writing and saying thank you for the book. My niece got the workbook and the reading book, and that was her first time getting it. So she was really excited.
Nice.
She told her mom, need more of these workbooks. So her mom's like, okay, we have to order more. Give me a few days and we'll get some more ordered. So I'm excited that kids are enjoying the work that she puts in.
Absolutely. Well, also, we can kind of tell now, you're a licensed cosmetologist. And that's kind of what was the impression that you guys made, like you made on Cammy when she was younger and would come to the shop. So, which inspired the book. So really good stuff. And tell us about your career in cosmetology. What inspired you to become a cosmetologist?
Well, I went to cosmetology school in high school, and it was because I wanted to learn how to do my own hair. I had very curly hair, and it was difficult to maintain. So when I was about probably 11 or 12, my mom relaxed it, and then I was like, okay, let's figure this out. So trying to get it back to its natural and then just wearing it. When in a natural state, I had to learn how to do it and maintain it myself. So that's why I went to cosmetology school.
Wow.
And so I loved that. I enjoyed my high school years in cosmetology and everything. And then when I became a licensed cosmetologist, I decided that I wanted to give back to the youth. So that's when I opened up Rurally Pampered Kids Spa, which was the children's hair salon that Cammy talks about in her books. And that was such a fun experience, just being around the children and getting to be their first hair salon visit and, styling their hair, asking questions about their own.
Well, it can be a little traumatizing at first for some.
Yes.
You know, it's a big deal. I remember going to the barbershop for my first cut, and I remember my brother teasing me, one of my older brothers. So I know it can stay with you for a long time. So this wonderful book by Cammy makes it a little bit easier. So it really, really can inspire party. Okay. Well, so what is this like having an author in the family?
It's awesome to have her in the family. I'm also an author. It kind of works hand in hand.
Get out of here. Well, I don't think we talked about that. Well, you've got to tell us a little bit about your book.
My book is called Pendulum of a Mother's Love, and it's about the relationship between mothers and daughters. And we talked, me and my mom are best friends, and whenever we would go out places, because we worked together for like 15 years, but whenever we would go out to places, people were like, oh, I wish me and my mom were that close, or, you know, I wish I could do this with my mom. So I gathered a new author to write about their relationship with their mother and how it started, how it ended. Some of the mothers were no longer here with us.
Right.
And how they would, things that they would want to do with their mother if they had the opportunity. And that book is inspiring those that still have their mother here with them that may not get along with them to be able to sit down and have at least a decent conversation and kind of mend the fences. Because we need so much more positive relationships between mothers and daughters out here today.
Wow. Well, I'm loving it. I really am. And I have to tell you, we're going to have to talk more about your wonderful book as well right here on the show and give some tips on kind of mending those friendships and in the case of the book, the relationships. I've got to say, because this is something that I've wanted to cover on the show as well, because I think that this is a great germ of an idea. It really is. And it's so needed. Oh, boy, is it needed. So, yeah. Now, so they can get your book where? Where can we get copies of this in your book?
On online on my website, it's authortakia.mystrikingly.com. So that's HTTPS, authortakia.mystrikingly.com.
Okay. And we're going to have to get things set up for you right here at the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Absolutely.
As well. Yeah. Hey. I'm so excited, Takia. I really am. So now what do you hope is next for both of you and for Cammy as well?
For me, I believe is doing more of the hair field. There may be some things unwrapped soon, so I'm hoping to get those things out in the air soon. And then
awesome.
For Cammy, I want her to finish her next book project. I wanted her, or I'm trying to convince her to do something with military dependents, so we'll see how it goes.
Wow. Well, I can't wait for all of this. I really can't. And this, I feel, is just the beginning. So you're getting used to finding your way around the corridors at the radio.
Yes.
Any early thoughts you want to share with everybody today? We'll put you on the spot.
Of the mission and the goal of Hair Radio.
Yeah.
It's not like when I was coming up in the cosmetology world, there weren't a lot of avenues out there that I knew of. So this is really good.
Awesome.
So I'm excited to see how it goes and continues to grow.
Absolutely. Well, listen, and just you bringing what you have to the table is going to just help us as well to accomplish everything. So I'm really, really excited. And you guys are going to be hearing a whole lot more from Takia right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show real soon as well. So, yes, as well as Cammy. So we've got you. Now, I always like to make sure that we represent everybody in the whole family. So tell us, because you've got a whole family there to support Cammy as well. So tell us a little bit more about everybody else.
Yeah, so I have a husband. He's an Army veteran. We've been married for...
Shout out, yes, to the Army vets. Okay.
Yes, yes. We've been married for 10 years. We have a 18-year-old
awesome.
Son off in college. We have a 14-year-old son who's dabbling in writing a little bit. We'll see what comes of that.
Oh, okay.
And
writing, like, books as well, or music, like lyrics and songs and things like that, or poetry?
So he wrote a book, and he did a workbook this summer through his the writing camp. And he's like, Mommy, I don't know. You know, he's 14, so he's a teenager now. And so,
he's
so comfortable with release.
Right. Well, I love all of this. That is so nice. Well, this is why, you know, to me, it's a whole family of creatives. You know, I've heard what the best thing that everybody's got. Yeah, that's awesome. So good stuff. Okay, well, you got it together, Takia.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it together, and I love hearing this. I really do. So we are just, you know, just a big old welcome. And I want to take a moment. You're going to be working closely with us at the Hair Radio Morning Show. They're going to be hearing a lot more. You've got Cammy's got a whole commercial coming soon on the show. You will be with us and helping to just, you know, move everything forward, and one of our therapy experts in all that we're doing. So just welcome. We give you a big old Hair Radio Morning Show welcome. And that's
so
on behalf
much.
Of myself and, of course, Nicole Marie and Michael Hopkins and Blue and the entire crew. So a big old welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You've got it.
For more to come.
Okay. Yeah, we feel the same way. All right. Thank you so much. Okay, folks, we'll be right back. Takia, thank you, and thank Cammy. Thank you guys so very much.
You're welcome.
Oh, You got it. All right, folks. Keep it right here. There's a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
Be careful of those who grow silent during your season of celebration. It's amazing how people like you until it gets good. People don't mind being with you as long as they feel like y'all on the same level. But the minute your lifting comes, the minute God begins to make it very clear that his hand is upon your life, look around and watch those who grow silent. Watch those who stop clapping. Watch those who start speaking negatively about you. Watch those who stop coming. Watch people who always try to compare what they have to what you have. Watch people who always try to lift themselves in the conversation. Watch people who are always in competition with you. Watch those people who will not give you a compliment no matter what, especially when God begins to lift you. If somebody cannot be genuinely happy for you, these are the type of people you absolutely do not need in your life. They don't call, they don't show up, and they stop applauding because they're slick jealous of what God is doing in your life. You do not need those people around. Be mindful of those people, and definitely don't call them friend.
Rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. It's Wednesday morning, December 13th of 2023. It's our broadcast, show number 933. Show number 933, and we are just doing it up this morning. Let me bring back to the line you guys have been just up and just getting it going this morning. Michael Hopkins from the beautiful Spotsylvania VA. Michael, again, happy third hour in this case. This is our last hour, and we're winding down the show. But, yeah, good stuff this morning. I've just enjoyed it. I really have.
Oh, yeah, very much so, Carrie.
Well, this is our third hour. So we kind of wanted to take a look at some of the things that are out there, just reminding folks of some of the recent things we've been talking about. Again, The Color Purple in movie theaters on Christmas Day. Not Christmas, but Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
You like that, right, Michael?
Oh, I like Christmas that one. Day. Yeah, Christmas Day.
Yes, and it's going to be big. I remember when Dreamgirls opened up, it opened up also on Christmas Day, so I went out and saw that. So it reminds me they're using kind of similar technique in with their launch of the movie. So really good stuff. You know, I was wondering, I said, well, Jennifer Hudson didn't do that, The Color Purple movie. Well, that's Fantasia's vehicle. Yeah, and I think that's why. That's mostly Fantasia's vehicle. And she deserves so much of a chance, Michael. Oh, boy.
Oh, very much so.
I really want her to win. Yeah, she's a great singer, you know, and we don't have to pit, you know, just because they're black women, we don't have to pit them against one another. They can work and coexist and perform and be friends in this universe. And that's what
very
I want to move to. Yeah, are we sometimes more competitive than we should be as people of color? What do you think, Michael Hopkins?
Yeah, you've got a good point there, Carrie, because it seems to me that we are pitted against each other when it comes to being competitive. That's what it seems like to me, and you see it in all walks of life. It used to be way back when you were the first person of color in something, and it was a big wow. But now it's more like, because I work there, you work there, and we're going to just compete to be all that we can be type deal. Where there's plenty of room.
I think I agree, but I think there's room for everybody.
Very much so.
And we got to stop competing within our community. We have to remember that I was always taught these are your brothers and sisters, and you take care of them and they take care of you. We are a family unit. And so I look at anybody who looks like me, to me, you are my brother and sister. And I look at the world that way. And really, within our community and without, you know, I shouldn't say within our community and outside of our community,
right.
I believe that it's more so the way that you carry yourself. You know, we have a lot of folks who believe and support our community, and I want to say thank you. And
very
it means
much
a lot,
so.
Especially these days. Yeah. So, Michael, did you finish your Christmas shopping yet?
Oh, we're still working on it, Karen. Oh, yeah, still working on it. And I have two sets of grandchildren. That's what I call it. I have a younger set that's 11 and below. And as you know, that's pretty easy. 11 and below, you get them a toy, we're all happy. When they're 18 and above, now we got, well, I don't like that color, but I want it in this color.
What Michael is saying is when they get a little older, they want the big ticket items. You got to take it.
Very much so.
Well,
very much so.
Yeah, so speaking of Christmas shopping and gift giving, are you going to be tipping, you know, the folks who, I should say, who deliver your mail, who cut your hair, who bag your groceries? Are you planning to, do you do a tip for these folks each year? What about the doorman that you have, the fancy doorman downstairs? Do you tip,
wow,
Michael? Do you and Miss Vena bake a cake and share some Christmas cookies?
We just make it a habit, Carrie, when we go out to eat dinner or even lunch, breakfast, we just make it a habit to tip the server and be kind to the servers.
Now, all the time or just at Christmas?
All the time. Oh, no, we do it all the time, Carrie, because one of my daughters used to be a server. I think, matter of fact, two of them used to be servers. And they would come home and tell myself and my wife their frustrations and customers. And they would tell us all these stories. And I would think, to myself, like when we go out and eat, and I think to myself, I put myself in their shoes. They're
well,
like
Michael,
everyone
I
else.
Think that's kind of great. But what about during the holidays? Do you feel that pressure to tip? Now, you're a good tipper when you guys are going out to eat, and that's kind of expected. But what
right.
about during the holiday season? Do you share, do you make a big pot and split it with your mailman and the gardener who cuts the lawn, you know, in other words, the folks who help you to enjoy a little bit better quality of life, so to speak, throughout the year? Do you give those individuals tips like you do when you're being served at the restaurant?
Wow. That's a good question, Carrie, because Many
That's
times.
That's why I thought I
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, now that
yeah.
you say that, sometimes some of those folks, we don't get a chance to see them in the wintertime. And that affects us being able to tip them. Like I said, you know, summertime when I see them, it's not a problem.
That's a cop-out. No, we're not going to let you get away with that one this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. What Michael just said was, well, it's kind of wintertime, so we don't really see them until the spring, and by then Christmas is over. Well, I don't know. That's a good point. Should you still tip them something? I think you should. I here in New York City, I have my UPS man, who I just so much appreciate. He's one of the kindest folks I know. Whenever there's a package for delivery, he's always shouting my name, Gary. And he'll speak with my neighbor, and he's like, no, this is for Carrie. He won't leave with anybody. This is for Carrie. And I so appreciate him. Every single time he makes the delivery, it's so helpful to me. So I'm
wow.
going to look in, yeah, my cache of things, and I'll put together a little Christmas gift to share. And then I see some folks on my way each day to grab coffee and all of that, and I always see these two gentlemen who used to love my little doggy Peppy, who passed away about a year ago, and they just love Peppy, and they always took time to speak to Peppy every day. They see me walking Peppy the same time every day. So for those guys, and they, I see them going to work in the morning, and they're doing their laborers from out of the country, and they just and my heart goes out to them every day. So I'm gonna try to pick up some little gift cards from Dunkin' Donuts so they can get coffee or something. And some scratch-off tickets and give that out to folks that we run across on a daily basis.
So Carrie, does that mean if they hit the lucky lotto for a mil, you're splitting it with them?
They got to share it. That's the requirement. Yes. What's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine. Remember
that sounds fair to me.
So, yeah, heads I win, tails you lose. Remember that?
Yeah,
so
pretty much
so. I just say, yeah, it's the holiday season, and we got to remember to give. There are always folks in going through something and less, struggling. They're trying to make way. And as Michael, you were talking about PTSD and a little bit earlier in the hour, and I think that show, and this is the kind of thing that really gets us. So let's remember to just be kind, support each other, and if you can share something for Christmas or the New Year, please do so. It's not always about money. It's also
right.
about taking the time to
right.
see people.
And you know,
and that's
Carrie,
what I love, being able to see people. What's that?
You know, Carrie, that key word that you said, that key four-letter word, kind, that's a key word.
Mm-hmm.
That is a key word. Sometimes in our society, people have forgotten that, about being kind to people. And
right.
Well, that's because we're living in the
day of the politicians who have just made us look at the hate that's there.
All the negative
that we
stuff.
Could be better than that. Right.
Yeah,
they've
the negative
turned
stuff.
Every single thing inverted, you know, inside out, made us untrusting of each other, really normalized hate. And that's where we are in this nation. Sadly, it's difficult to move past that. And
yeah,
I wish
and
that
you're
we
right.
would, because we can never be the great country that we know we can be with folks who are looking to benefit from keeping us fighting. And so
yeah, absolutely
that's,
right.
It's always disturbing. So, you know, so guys, the way that you, you know, get some of these folks, you know, they don't mean us any good. Vote them out of office. You know, get them out. Get them out. Because, you know, our lives, our very lives, really hang in the balance. You don't realize how much power that you give these folks who are in public office. And once they're difficult to move, but you got to vote them out. You know, it took
very
a whole year
so,
to
Karen.
Get that fella out of New York. I don't want to say his name either this morning.
Right.
It took a long time. So you got to be careful. Do your due diligence when you vote and make sure you know whom you're voting for and what they stand for and their record. Don't just, you know, hear some nasty vitriol that they're spewing and you're signing on to it. And then you find out the person is a charlatan. And
oh,
it
yeah,
have
in
to
the
be
worst
just
way.
Females, it could be anybody, that, you know, so please. So, Michael, it's nice to have this open mic with you on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We like to do that on Wednesdays
so.
In the third hour where we get a chance just to chat about stuff and things that we see bubbling up. It gives us a nice feeling to have our own platform to share. So we never have to keep it bottled up inside. It's so cathartic that we get to talk live on the air about whatever's bothering us, Michael. We have our own platform.
Oh, yeah.
Is
that's
that not
the, that's
a great,
feeling?
That's,
yeah, it's a great feeling, Terry, just to be able to express our concerns and triumphs and just the world and being a voice of other people. Because some people,
mm-hmm.
they don't have a voice.
Lots of just, folks, Michael.
Yeah, they don't
been
have
quiet
a voice.
Or feel quiet. Yeah. Michael's right.
And,
now,
and
let
just
me
like
tell
you
saying, Michael. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, just
what
like you're saying, Carrie, you know, with this political process that our great country has, and there's some people that they just should not be an elected official. Let's just be real. He shouldn't be an elected official.
No.
Isn't
no
it
way
called
near
integrity,
it.
Carrie? Isn't that what it's called?
Oh,
integrity.
Michael. Oh, boy. We'll
duty,
be waiting until
honor,
the cows come home for that
country.
To the political process.
Yeah. For the people, by
true.
The people, and all that good stuff. But some
yeah.
people have forgotten all those good things.
Yes,
they have,
sadly
they, it's sad, and they have to find something else to do. They cannot
yes.
represent the people. Let them
well,
go
Michael,
represent
I
something
so
else.
I am so grateful that this is something that is ringing true and
oh,
that
very
you're
much
on
so.
Top of it. Yeah. Well, listen, I'm going to kind of take a little bit. I want to get on Ms. Cheryl Morrow. And what I loved about Cheryl, she had started talking about generational wealth. It's one of my favorite pieces.
Oh yeah,
that we're able to air about with Cheryl Morrow. So, and Michael and I are going to talk a little bit more on the other side of this. So give us a few minutes, and we'll share a whole lot more about this. So you need to stay tuned. Michael, great job. Stay with us, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think with all of the conversations that I've had probably in the last year, Carrie, and, of course, you know, we've had our industry, hair, beauty, and skin, and, you know, ethnic beauty has taken a hard hit. So I think one of the most important projects to me is to tell my story of this. How I grew up in black hair care at the beginning of the boom, the billion-dollar economic industrial revolution of what we call the curl, even though we were coming out of pressing curls and going into the Afro. So that's one of the things I'm working on is a documentary of my life and how I grew up in black hair care. And some of the people, it's funny, you know, because people would always say, you know, we had all this wealth and black dynasties and of generating black wealth, but where did the kids go? You know, where did the money go? Where did that whole wealth gap, where is it? And so I feel, you know, a sense of responsibility to at least tell it from my perspective. So that it's almost like that all that wealth kind of like evaporated.
And so, well, that's what I'm going to ask you. Yeah, where did the money go? That's the question, the million-dollar question here, literally.
Yeah.
We're talking about generations of hair industry superstar folks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, so
it's a complex conversation because you can't talk about where the wealth went until you talk about there's a conversation that I do address called gerontocracy. And gerontocracy is when the passing doesn't happen. And your predecessors stay too long. And they stay too long because they're not adapting. And we always talk about how companies should adapt to the, you know, right. You adapt inside before you see signs of the changing of the trend or changing of the times. And so there's a thing that, and when you get into the 70s and 80s, most of those companies were ran by men, black men. And so black men tend to look at their children differently.
Watch it, Cheryl Morrow. No, geez.
Black women. You know, no, they do. And it's, let's just say, you know, you have your John Johnson. You have your George Johnson. You have your Mr. Dudleys. You have your Mr. Morrows. You have your Mr. Bronners. You have the World of Curls and the Donnies and the Leisure Curls. You had these men. And so they did have children. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the limelight is addictive. The limelight is addictive. And they just don't see the continuity of their legacies through their children. It sounds like a good thing. They know they should do it, but they don't do it. You know, and so
there's a
cultural thing. And then when you have the Eunice Johnsons and the Celia DeVore, and you have the Dr. Katie Wickhams, and you have this when you have women. They tend to let go a little easier. So those legacies can continue. But there is just like a real cultural thing. And then I get into it into the documentary because it's real talk. Mm. You know, this is not just us wanting to pass wealth. It's not us wanting to just close wealth gaps. You can't close wealth gaps if you don't have the continuity of the predecessor into the succession plan, which is your children.
I agree.
You can't close a gap because the gap keeps getting wider because white America keeps passing it on and locking it within their culture. We don't. It's a cultural thing.
We don't
get
really.
Into that.
It's a different
thing. Yeah, we don't get it.
Well, let me ask you about that a little bit, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that because, you know, I mean, on a simplistic term, in a very simple way. I talk to a lot of hairstylists, you know, throughout the years, and I always ask them about, you know, they open up the shops, and I say, well, what about your kids, you know, or they helping you or working at the shops and, you know, and this and that. And they cannot get those kids to help them at the shops. The kids generally take it for granted. You know, they've got all the money that comes from, the parents' hard work at these salons and barbershops, and they just go on and living a very, great life from the benefits of the financial aspect, but they do nothing to support the parents' hard work, and they truly are not going to be heading up any kind of, taking on a business That's just not even on the table. And I always wondered about that, and I kind of think about it for my own company. So this is something that is very, very important. It's a big disparity between the African-American community with regards to succession, I call it, and the people who are outside of our community. So this is really something that is very interesting to me. And I know you're on a different level with it, but it just – I don't understand. Is it just just something that the kids don't – you know, should we expect them to want to, you know, pass – you know, to continue on in their with their parents' legacy? You know, is this something?
Think about it, Gary. I didn't want to be a barber. My father started out as a barber.
Right.
The key here is that Mr. Marl created a company. Now, think about it. Most hairstylists, you know, because I'm a hairstylist. I get it.
Yes.
The problem is that their hairstyling portion of their business is not a company. So there is no room to do other things besides maybe promotions or marketing of the parents' actual skill sets, which is doing hair. Where else is there other means of doing something else if the child or if the offspring is not doesn't want to do hair? And just think of this analogy, and I always tell them when I get this question, you know, would I really want to inherit a cotton picking business? You know, black people pick cotton, and, you know, would I want to pass that on? You know, so the physical portions of, you know, businesses are not companies. Businesses is one thing, and a company is another. So in a company is encased, which I always tell people, I'm an intrapreneur. I'm not an entrepreneur. I don't need to make anything. I don't need to discover anything. I don't need to do any of that. What I need to do is to come in with something already formed and take it to the next level. So because my father had a company, right, he had a company which had, you know, roots, and then it springed out with branches and leaves. So there was so many branches to him because they – and just take the Johnson daughter, you know, with Ebony and Jet. Because Ebony and Jet and was really actually a beauty business. There was Duke and Ravine, which was Relaxer, and Duke was a men's line. There were so many other things to do within Johnson Publishing. So it was an actual company.
Right.
So that tends to allow the successor to kind of fit in and take the reins. But if you are just a business, which hair salons are, barber, you and it's tied to the parent's physical skills. And yeah, you really have a very difficult time with that, with the succession plan.
Well, now you are talking about in this, in your upcoming documentary, we're talking about some of the biggest names in the hair industry. And so I'm just, one of the things that jumps out at me, have you heard any feedback from some of those, you know, some of those families, some of those super well-known hair industry superstar families? Have you gotten any feedback?
They've evaporated.
What are their thoughts?
Well, the problem, when you are acquired by big companies like Procter & Gamble or L'Oreal, and you evaporate. There is nothing to, unless you stay on as a consultant or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But no,
and that doesn't
usually
last too long. Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Cheryl Morrow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing. I'm looking forward to this documentary.
well,
so,
I was in the studio doing San Diego Monitor News business as a publisher because we now had it at a podcast studio, right? And in the middle of that, I get a phone call from Chicago or someplace, and they want, you know, 1,000, you know, Willie Morrow blow dry novels. It's just that, you know, here I go, I'm in the newspaper, but I get calls about something that was created over 45 years ago. And it's still the number one heat tool on Amazon.
that is succession.
Well, let's tell everybody, I have to take an order for something in beauty.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing.
Because
that's a company.
I absolutely want to remind everybody about the amazing legacy and lineage that you have. So we're talking about the Morrow family dynasty. So I'm in the hair business. And your father, as you just mentioned, that starting with the novel, tell us a little bit about his invention, because that really, that hit the mark out there and made him pretty much a household name in the hair industry, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, just combs, period. I think that in those 60s, 1964, bringing to commercial market is the brilliance of Mr. Morrow, not the fact that he's creating or duplicating something that had already been done in the continent of Africa. So the comb in and of itself is not the invention. The invention is to be able to put it in industrial commerce to make it available, because if you didn't go to the continent of Africa in 1963, 1964, you wouldn't get it. You wouldn't get it, right? Yes.
Correct.
So the ability for him to take it, to redesign it, patent it, take it to the U.S. Congress, put it into commerce, and to commercialize it, monetize it, right, and productize it, and make it available for black people in the West Indies, black people in North America, black people in Canada, you know, in Europe, and black people in Asia, black people in Africa too. They didn't know it was a thing, you know. So we could fashion and style our hair and be a part of the secular world. So the Afrocomb was put in the secular world by Mr. Morrow by redesigning it and industrializing it. It's the same process as taking tobacco. Yeah, tobacco is natural in its environment, but to make it be consumed and then enrich yourself by that great legacy called an Afrocomb, and then making other people have it in Cuba and you know, in Hawaii and other places. So that was brilliant. And then to create this generation, and then you have the first one, and then the next generation of them, and then to have utility patents, and then go into, you know, making a comb and a blow dry so we can have blowouts and straighten hair and things of that nature. That was, I think, the difference between a Mr. Morrow, a Joe Dudley, a Gardner, a Fauchin, a different angle. To being part of the legacy of ethnic beauty.
Absolutely. And I just want to also bring attention to that documentary, because to me, 400 years without a comb was so far ahead. Now, documentaries are a lot more, you know, out there. Maybe it has a lot to do with the pandemic that we have come through. But I do want to say that the documentary, that documentary really started a lot of the hair industry documentaries, if you will, to me. You know, I think it's one of the most well-known and most seen hair industry documentary in the world. So, and we're talking about 400 years without a comb, and it's still out there, and I'm just loving that. So, again, we're talking about hair legacies and loving it.
Yeah, it started out as a book. And I think that that is probably one of the reasons why it's the hair care, you know, historical Bible that everyone goes to, you know, because it's a three-generation book. In all three decades, Mr. Morrow rewrote it. And then in the last... in the last, the fourth quarter of its generation and its edition, he created, and Mr. Morrow just really deals with the culture inside of the plantation, and it starts there, because the commercial market that you and I enjoy was started on the plantation. It formed itself into
And because of that complete disconnection for about three centuries, that disconnection from the world's first organized beauty kind of, you know, that activity, the way we did it, you know, there was it was not quite done. When Europe went to colonialize Africa, that is where they learned hygiene. The roots of beauty is hygienic, not, you know, fashion and styling and things of that nature. But it was basically really had its roots in hygiene. And I think that this was starting there, only a black person could have done that, Carrie. You know, no one cared about
absolutely,
obviously, how you fashioned
absolutely
yourself and cleaned yourself and how you, you know, became this really sophisticated society and culture, and how you, you know, you did things, you know, with your body and your health and well-being. No one was interested in that type of story. So, yeah, once again, Mr. Morrow hit it on the head, you know.
And it didn't stop there. The San Diego Monitor News, I want to talk about that. Can you tell us a little bit, for those who are outside of the California experience, if you will, what exactly is that? And I believe that it you go everywhere with it. So tell everybody about it.
Yeah. We turned from New York. I lived in New York for 19 years. And, you know, one of the things that, and this is me, you know, I'm going to tell this story in the documentary. One of the reasons why Mr. Morrow got into publishing is not really because he had a great love for journalism, but it, black people don't really understand that it's legacy to get a newspaper. All hair care men, all hair care families, it was almost like a rite of passage. You had to get a publication. You know, most people think that John Johnson got the publication and then got into the hair business. No, John Johnson, was already in beauty. So their mentor, S.B. Fuller, always told them and taught Joe Dudley, George Johnson, which is Ultra Sheen, Johnson Product, and then John Johnson, which was Johnson Publishing. When you start your beauty line, you get you a newspaper. So Mr. Morrow was just following the great recipe and the great formula of success of S.B. Fuller, one of his mentors. So
yes, yes,
all of them got newspapers. So Mr. Morrow got created one in San Diego in 1986 because of the mentor Bill Thompson. In creating, S.B. Fuller always taught them that you create your own advertising tool. So if you get on the cover of somebody else's publication, that was fine. But make sure that you are always, you create a product, you got to have a way to advertise it. So create a magazine in and of itself. Put some content. And you see how forward they were, actually? And
oh,
you
yeah
think about
oh,
how,
yeah,
the,
and,
how
and
powerful
that,
content
yeah
is today. Yeah.
So oh, absolutely! They were way ahead.
Yeah,
yes.
It was. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was absolutely. You know, it was to be the power of the advertisement. You know, be ahead. Put amazing yourself on your own cover. Put yourself. You know, look bigger than you know you actually are. You know, put your own content out there, your own stories, and then put yourself on the you know on the cover, and then put your own ads in. Yeah, so it was always about advertising, the actual
yeah
root business. So that's how Mr. Morrow
exactly
got into it, and then, of course, and it just rolled into a journalistic product, you know, local business, local people, and things of that nature. And then
which I love,
it's been
yeah
adjudicated for over almost, you know, we're heading into 40 years, you know. And so
that
I had just
amazing
taken over, and of course, in 2010, I turned it digital. I saw the handwriting on the wall, and I was the first black paper in the state of California to be adjudicated and digitized at the same time. So it was I made sure that I created a hybrid. And it was probably because of my technical skills, you know, graphic skills and technical skills and all that stuff I learned while I was in New York, that I could make that turn and that very, very quickly. So,
well, I love the stories that you guys cover. Yeah. We've got to tell folks,
thank
how
you,
can they get their hands or see? Oh, absolutely. I love when you guys put things out on the internet and, you know, and I see and you do such good work. I love the pictures and the graphics and everything. You're not telling the same stories that everybody else is telling. And that's...
No, I refuse to.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that our people need orientation and information. You know, because, you know, at the end of the day, we have a saying, if you're not informed, news doesn't matter. You know, if you don't know anything.
Whoa.
You don't know anything.
I have
not
to write
informed.
That one down. If you're not informed, the news doesn't matter. Wow. That says it all. Wow. Okay. You know, let me bring everybody on up to speed with this. If you're kind of just joining us, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the All Know Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, my very special guest today. She really returns back to us. It's been quite a while. She comes back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. You guys know her. She was out here with us on the East Coast. But she's returned to California, the San Diego area, as we were just talking about, the SDMN, San Diego Monitor newspaper, which we just love, this San Diego Monitor News, I should say. So, Cheryl, how can they get this online? Do you have a place that you can send everybody to find out more, to set, to register?
It's a mobile site, so you can get it on your mobile device, and you can go to the website, sbmonitornews.com. Our story content is very off the beat. I am very picky what our readers are exposed to. They're always are going to get a very avant-garde, a very different way of looking at things. And I'll be honest, I believe that's one of our impediments. We are so 1960s directed. We are so infused in the 1960s that to get, you know, especially African Americans the 60s and 70s, it's very hard to get us back into the present moment of who we are.
Exactly.
And I tell them all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you think about it, African Americans, all 46 million.
All right, Michael. We had a great show today for the Hair Radio Morning Show. We'll see you back here on Thursday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern. We have a brand new show on tap, new music, and so much more. So it's been my great honor to work with Michael Hopkins today, Nicole Marie, so many others. And it was just a great show. Yeah, did you have fun today, Michael Hopkins?
Oh, yes, Carrie, very much so. Very enjoyable show.
Awesome. Again, it's our broadcast number 933. If you missed it, we'll be able to share it online in just a bit. And just going to enjoy the day. We want you guys to have fun out there. So it's been an awesome couple of days. And tomorrow we've got some more surprise things on tap. And, of course, we have throwback music tomorrow, so you don't want to miss that. The Hair Radio Morning Show broadcasts from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central, and Tuesdays at 8:30. Michael, what do they hear right here on our network at 8:30 on Tuesday mornings? That's Eastern time.
Vet Talk Radio Show.
All right. It gets no better than that, folks. We'll see you back here tomorrow. With an all-new broadcast. So we have our outro to go ahead and get you started. So much. We'll see you back here tomorrow. All right.
Oh, yeah.
It's time again to bring today's edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. On behalf of program creator Carrie Hines and the entire broadcast family, we say thank you to our fans for tuning in, and we hope you enjoyed today's presentation. It's a great honor to get your day started in the most informative and entertaining way possible. And we at Hair Radio take that task very seriously. I'm Ophelia, one of the newest additions to the lineup at the Hair Radio Morning Show. First, let's thank our incredible advertisers, beginning with our legacy sponsors. Rugged Evolution Beard Care, Divine Energy Luxury Candles, Carapy.com, Salon TV Network, The How to Get Rich in the Hair Business Book by show host Kerry Hines, celebrating over 10 years in release. Get an updated version today on Amazon. Be a guest on air or join the Hair Radio Morning Show for a panel discussion that's all about hair, beauty, and community, and be heard next door